Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. I'll be right there with you. All right, we're here live tonight. Welcome everybody to PGN, the Prophetic Grace Network, the place where we do it, where we talk about it. Glad to be with you. Hopefully everybody's doing really good tonight. And if not, we're going to pray for you. We're going to be praying for everyone. So hang on a minute. All right, really good to be here, and hopefully you're all doing well. So if not, it could all change in a moment, for sure. Yeah, it really could. So thank God for that. And let's see what we got going on here. All right, good to be here tonight. Let me get going here. Running a couple of minutes behind. Welcome, welcome, welcome to PGN. We're going to pray for you tonight and believe God with you for whatever you need, whatever strength you need, whatever wisdom you might need. He might give you some wisdom. God might just say something that's going to happen in the future. A lot of people don't understand the prophetic very well, so let me just do a little bit of explaining here before we get started. That, you know, the prophetic isn't always telling you everything you already know. Many times a prophet will tell you things that you don't have a clue about. That's what prophets do. They give first words. So many times we receive information from prophets that are first words, right? Not second words, not third words, not confirmation words always. But sometimes God will give words to prophets that are things you've never heard in your life, right? What good would a prophet be if he told you everything you already knew? That's only part of it. That's a gift. Those are the gifts of the word of knowledge, usually. But the gifts of the word of knowledge do work with the prophetic, no doubt about it. It's part of it. But it all kind of works together like a big symphony orchestra. That's what I call it. And it really is pretty awesome to watch what is going on. And we're truly grateful for all of it. So if you think that when you call in and not used to the prophetic, at least not too used to what we do right here, it's not going to be, oh, yeah, you had lunch today with your best friend, and they talked about how wonderful the sunshine is today and how you're going to go out and, you know, go swimming. I mean, you know, that'd be cool, and that may confirm some friendship thing, whatever. Many fold, works in many different ways. Sometimes he'll say something to you that at first I've had a lot of people tell me, oh, I didn't connect to any of that until they started thinking about it. And they said, man, dude, that went way back into some things that I hadn't even thought of. It's like it brought things up that I had forgotten about. I've totally forgotten about it. So I was kind of upset with you a little bit because, well, you know, he's not really on tonight because, you know, he's talking about things that I can't even relate to. And yet, you know, days later, sometimes whatever, they come back and say, people come back and say, you know, I mean, it went deep into things that I had totally forgot about. So the word of the Lord and the gifts of the word of knowledge brought some things that had been kind of forgotten about and brought forth to remember, you know, not good things, not bad things, just things, right? Just things. So the prophetic is not always telling you something that you just did or that you already been talking about. That happens too. Of course it does. The scripture talks about that must bear witness with you, but bearing witness with you has nothing to do with it. Bearing witness has nothing to do with that you already know it, you know, as far as intellectually. Your spirit man already knows it, of course. Because when somebody's prophesying to you, your spirit man already knows the perfect will of God for you, even the parts that you don't have a clue about. Because if you were in touch, in complete touch with your spirit man, you wouldn't be questioning much of anything going on. You'd be like flowing in the knowing. You'd be flowing in the knowing. Because your spirit man is a part of you and the only part of you that knows all things, not God knows all things, but knows all things about you, right? Right. Okay. We've talked about all these scriptures before. I'm not going to get into them right now, I don't think. But so your spirit man knows things about you that your soul or your mind has never even thought of. I guarantee you, never even thought of. Because you thought of it, I had not seen, right? Ear had not heard. That was just entered into the heart. Oh, into the heart. Except it says that the Holy Spirit reveals it, right? So sometimes it's things that you hadn't even thought of, that you don't even know, and not have been revealed to you, that not been have not been put inside you yet, right? As far as, you know, your soul, your mind, your understanding, your ability to go in the human realm. Okay, wow, I didn't know that. That's new. And then it feels right, it seems right, although it's way bigger than I thought, way different than I thought, but I can really identify with that. And so little by little, you start taking on the identity of who you really are. So the prophetic realm and the gifts of the Spirit, sometimes, you know, your spirit man, which is the most secret part of you, the part of you that your spirit man is very little known. Your mind is known, your soul, your mind, will emotion. You know yourself fairly well in your soul, although many things have been hidden, you know, because of pain and heartache and that kind of thing. So sometimes the prophetic realm, the gift of the word of knowledge and all the different gifts of the Spirit will work is working in your behalf to open you up to things that you had either forgotten or some things that you've never known that your spirit man knows because he's seated with Christ in heavenly places. And because he's seated with Christ in heavenly places, you know, sometimes the thoughts that are about you and towards you from God are so high that your intellectual mind, your soul is like going, oh, wait a minute now. Oh, not that. No. Oh, I mean, that's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. But not that. No, not me. Not me. I know me. No, maybe you don't know you. Right? Maybe you don't really know you like you. Because Joseph didn't know himself. I mean, you think about Joseph. We're talking about Joseph a lot because he's such a cool guy and went through so much. But his things that he didn't have a clue what he knew. He didn't have a clue what he was going to do, right? It was so awesome. God couldn't just walk up to him and say, okay, Joseph, you're going to rule all of Egypt with Pharaoh, even though you've never been to Egypt in your life. You don't even know it is. You may not even know how to get there yet. You're going to be ruling things. You're going to spend 15 years in prison. You know, I mean, he didn't know any of that stuff, man. He didn't know anything. If God would have told him, he'd have been going, wait a minute now. How can I back out of this? I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. So sometimes, friend, God doesn't reveal all of his will to you. Now listen to this. This is going to blow your mind. I love this stuff, man. Sometimes he doesn't reveal his whole will to you because you'd be going like, now, wait just a minute. 15 years where? In prison for being innocent? God, you're going to be mean enough to allow that to happen to me? You see, because our intellectual mind doesn't understand the ways of God. So it'll just start calling what God's going to do is cruel. All right? Remember when you were little, you thought your mommy and daddy were cruel to you because they wouldn't give you that last sucker or that donut or that whatever you wanted? Yeah, remember that? Mm-hmm. Or do things that you just knew you were in love with some little girl across the street and mommy, daddy wouldn't let you go. You know, please, I mean, they were being so mean to you, right? Because they knew things about you and was protecting you and things that you didn't even have a clue was going on. Not a clue. So it's the same thing in the prophetic realm. In the prophetic realm, you don't always know everything about what's going on. But if you did, you wouldn't need to seek the Lord. You'd already know. Right? You already know. So, but there's a part of you that bears witness, and it's really deep within you. It's called your spirit man. Spirit man is the only part of you that is seated with Christ positionally. Right now, positionally. Your spirit man is in your body, never left your body. You know, because if you did, you'd be dead, basically. Your spirit and your soul. So your spirit man doesn't leave your body. He's just positionally, he's been so transformed from darkness to light that he's seated in the realm of full glory and full light. Friend, things that you and I can't even comprehend. Paul the Apostle said, man, I saw things I can't even utter. And he was the best utterer I've ever met. I don't know. I've never met him, but I feel like I know him a little bit, don't you? Yeah, he's the best utterer. He could utter better than anybody I've ever seen. And he said, I saw things in heaven I can't even utter. You know, how much more the things that God has for you and me, I have not seen, neither ear heard. They neither have they even entered into the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for those that love him, it shall be revealed to those who yield. Am I going to go to that scripture? I think I am. I think I'm not going to get by without going there. So give me just a second. Let's get into some of this stuff and get really cool. All right, let's go in for a second. Take a look at this. And I want to help you understand the prophetic realm so that you won't be throwing out words from God. I don't want you throwing out the word of God, okay? That's what I don't want you to do that. Because you're going, my pastor, who doesn't know anything about the prophetic, by the way, told me in teaching about the prophetic realm that if it doesn't bear witness with you, or if you don't know already what it, then it's not of God. You know how they teach that? I don't know if y'all been taught that. I've heard them teach it lots of times. I used to teach it myself, not even knowing what I was doing. Like a dummy. I mean, literally, like what was I doing? Talking things, I didn't even have a clue what I was talking about, even though I was told to it. All right, just for a second. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Let's go to the New King James, just to kind of stay in, kind of in between things as far as translations. Hang on a second here. If I open this up, there we go. All right. Oh man, this is so awesome, dude. I love this. However we speak wisdom among some, among those who are mature. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, of the old, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Wow, isn't that amazing? You mean things are spoken in a mystery? You can get a prophetic word that's mysterious, and you're racking your little brain to try to figure out what it is. Absolutely, we do that. I do it. We do it. We rack our brain trying to figure out all the mysteries of God. But he said we don't speak the wisdom of the world. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's the hidden wisdom of God, ordained before the ages for our glory. For our glory, y'all getting this? I haven't read this in a while, which none of the rulers of this age knew, or had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, the prophetic word that was already in the Bible about, you know, Isaiah 53, talking about how Christ would die, nobody could see and understand that. Nobody could quite grasp that. And yet it was in a mystery. It was the hidden wisdom of God. Friend, do you think that every word you get is going to be like something other than that is a mystery or the hidden wisdom of God? And if you don't seek God about it, you know what you're going to do with that word? You know what you're going to do with that information? You're going to do like the rulers of that age did. You're going to crucify the one who came to save you. Because that's what I would do. That's what you would do. That's what we would all do. We would crucify him. Why? Oh, we think, no, I would never do that. Not me. I'm too, you know, spiritually endowed. Well, I don't care how spiritually endowed we are. You know, the wisdom of God is way beyond us unless he shows it to us, unless he reveals it to us. Right? He wants to reveal it to you. Right? So prophetic words sometimes come in a mystery. Sometimes it's part of the past, the present, and the future wrapped together, you know, opening up something for your future. Sometimes the prophetic will be mixed with words of knowledge that will unlock something in you. Like I've had people tell me, say, man, you know, I thought you kind of were just having a bad night. You were missing it until I started thinking about it and listening to what you were saying to us, and it unlocked something in me I had totally forgot about. I went, oh, okay, cool. Because, you know, I'm giving the word. I don't know what's going on. I see it, hear it, I give it. It comes in a mystery to me. It was hidden from me until God showed it. Not everything's just, you don't know everything, friend. These people that teach you, you know everything about the prophetic, the prophetic word, you're going to know everything about it. If you don't already know everything about it, then it's not God. man, that is so contrary to the Word of God. It's unbelievable to me. So everything's, you know, even when Jesus spoke parables, when he spoke about a lot of things, most of the time, they didn't have a clue what he was talking about. They knew he was talking about the birds, the bees, the flowers, and the trees. They knew about that, but they were like going, but what does it mean for me? That was the mystery. That was the mystery. That was what was hidden from them. That's why we have to seek God. That's why we have to go, well, you know, that prophetic word, I don't understand that, so it must not be God. It doesn't bear witness with me because I don't already know I haven't already heard that before. So why would a prophet always be giving you something you already know? And if you already know it, then how come you're not doing it? If you already know it, then, you know, that's good. Those words are awesome. They are awesome. And I give those words. We give those words. People give those words that I know of. And they're awesome. They're wonderful. But it's much deeper than that. So if you're throwing out the words that you don't already know, and that kind of like, oh, man, that's like a mystery, man. That can't be right because I don't have a clue what that's saying. Oh, really? It might be a mystery. It just could be a mystery to you. You might think you understand it. You misinterpret it and then turn around and call the person, well, you missed that one. And the truth is, when you go back and listen to that word, this is, you know, I deal with this stuff all the time. You go back and listen to the word, you're going like, well, you know, I'm not hearing that at all. If I listen to it with them, they bring it to me. I say, okay, let's look at it together. So this. All right. Then, you know what? I don't see that as that at all. And they go like, well, yeah, I thought that's what it was. Well, that's not what it is at all, in my opinion. You know, look at this and look at this and think about this and think about that. Oh, I was looking for that. I thought, yeah, usually what we think it means is because what we already want, we mix in what we already want from our own selfish self. Now, you can want things from your own spiritual self, which are not selfish. They're very glorious. But you have a selfish part of yourself, right, that just interprets words, you know, and we interpret the Word of God many times according to what we want to hear, right? So why not prophetic words? Of course you do prophetic words like that. Well, yeah, I thought you told me, man, I'm going to be having this. This is going to be going that and that and that. It's whatever he's going to do. And I want it done now. I'm going like, okay, well, let's listen to it and see what it might be really saying. And so, you know, this is normal. And you understand why people struggle with all this and why pastors preach it away and teach the prophetic away. And yet Paul the Apostle understood it more than anybody. He said in 1 Timothy 1:18, which I've talked about many times here on the show, that Paul the Apostle, to his favorite son disciple, said, go listen to those prophecies spoken over you, Timothy, that were spoken about you, you know, so you can go fight the good fight, the battle that you're in. That was one of his answers. One of the answers. It's not the only answer. There's many answers to things, friend. Jesus is the only answer. But he has many different kinds of wisdom that he shares with us. So here it is. But as it is written, remember, we don't always understand it. We don't always know when a prophetic word comes. We may have never heard that in our life. We might not have ever seen that, even thought about that. And you'll hear those preachers say it, and I could name their names for you and get the video for you and the audio to show you exactly what I'm telling you, is exactly what I'm saying, is exactly what they said. Did I say that right? I think I did. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, and the heart can be the soul, the things which God has prepared for those that love him. In other words, prepared is what? For you. Not only now that you might not be walking into, it's been prepared for you, and it's not just for the future, it's for right now, but you're not prepared. It's been prepared for you, but you're not walking in it, you know, for whatever reason. So that's what we want to do, right? How do I step into what God has already prepared for me for right now that I'm missing, and for the future, what he's prepared for me in the future? Things, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God hath revealed them to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Oh, maybe there might be some deep things about you, my brother and my sister, that are more beautiful than you'd ever dream of, that you don't even have a clue about. Oh, they'll say, if it doesn't make any sense, if you don't know it, then reject it. I call those people ignorant. I call them, and I used to be the same way, so I can't say a whole lot. All right. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of... So we're talking about a man. We're talking about the things of a man, a human being. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. It goes on and on and on. But I want to kind of walk with this for a minute. So for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. So there's things that you don't know, friend. There's things that you don't know. If you knew it all, you'd probably have a big head. Joseph didn't know it all. God didn't want him to know it all. Because if he'd have told him, if he'd had a prophet prophesying to him, your brothers shall cast thee into the dirt hole, and you shall be sold out for thus and thus money and brought to the pot house, the Potiphar house, and there you shall be accused falsely of, you know, things that you haven't even thought of, and they shall cast thee into prison for 15 years, my son. And in that prison time, you shall learn how to glorify God, though thou was innocent, and though thou did not do anything wrong. You shall spend 15 years. And then one day, you shall be raised up, and your brothers shall come and bow down to you, all 11 of them. And the sun and the moon shall bow before thee, which was Pharaoh, was the sun god, the sun. That's why they call him the sun god. And who was the nation? The moon that reflected the light of the sun. And literally, you can just hear a prophet saying this. And thou shalt watch with thine own eyes as you ride beside the king of the land, as the whole land bows down in honor to you, saith the Lord. He'd be going like, man, now the dream I had, I didn't have nothing to do with that. Now, the dream I had nothing to do with none of that. Now, I had everything to do with raising crops and being the best farmer like my father, Isaac, my grandfather, Isaac. Isaac was the greatest crop grower, hundredfold, in the midst of famine. Now, I've got his blessing. I'm the leader of the famine, and I'm going to be growing crops. And my brother's going to be going like, you got the best crops in town, dude. You were awesome. That's what I'm going to be doing. Because what? That's what he understood. That's the only thing he could think of. He didn't think of nothing else. Because everything was a mystery. God's will for his life was a mystery. And if you're trying to figure it out, you're going to get all bitter. You're not going to get better. You're going to get bitter. If you will, you'll get bitter. Because you're not going to be able to figure it out. Because some things God's not going to tell you because he don't want you to know. Number one, he wants you to walk it out by faith. He wants you to wonder without having any clue of any clue what's going to happen to you. You don't have a clue what's going to happen to you. Joseph, do you? He didn't have a clue what was going to happen to him. God didn't want him to have a clue because he wanted him to walk in it and trust him, not knowing what was going on, never having heard it before, never had done it, nothing going on that he'd ever heard. This isn't part of the dream. And yet it was everything that was going to fulfill the dream within him. But he didn't know it. The same thing with you and I, friend. You expect God to tell you, think God's going to tell you everything, that you're going to suffer? I mean, sometimes he'll tell you things. But most of the time in your suffering, it's a time of not knowing about it to see what you're going to do about it because you don't know about it. That's how the great work of God is done. You don't know. I don't know. You don't know. We're just floundering around going, dear God, what's going on with all this? The devil's getting all carried away. And you want some prophet to come up to you and prophesy all those demons, all those Jezebels, all those spirits, all those oppressive, whoever they are, oppressing you away, and yet God is allowing it to do a work in you, and you're not letting him do the work because you're trying to stop the work that God's trying to do that will break your little honey buns. Or you might say your stubbornness, that strong spirit you have about you. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Paul the Apostle had a strong spirit about him. Joseph did too. A lot of the men of God did. But God broke him, knowing that when he gets a hold of them in their brokenness, he's going to change everything. But if you're resisting, bind that devil in the name of Jesus. Every morning his prayer to God for 15 years is, which God never heard, I bind this spirit of bondage in the name of the Lord. Oh, my God, I bind up this jail spirit. I bind up that lying accusation spirit in the name of Jesus that got me put in this hellhole. Oh, God, you know I am innocent. Oh, dear Jesus, it's that wicked woman who put me in here, and I've been falsely crucified and falsely accused. God, I know this ain't can't be. This is not right. I tell you, those prayers, I've prayed some prayers just about like that, y'all. I'm serious. And it wasn't funny at the time either. But I'm kind of a little nervous, like, my God, how long is the devil going to have me in jail? You know, I've never been in jail, but yeah. One time, when I, before I, way before I get saved, for about half a day, but thank God. But hey. Yeah, I have been in a few little binds where it seemed like nothing was going my way, and I'm just thinking, if I can just rise up in authority in the name of the Lord and bind up that devil at bondage in Jesus' name and let my people go, mainly me. Get me out of this hellhole. Get me out of this oppression. God's going, man, if you keep fighting in chains, you're going to have a lot of scars from, you know. Could you imagine Paul the Apostle being in prison and going, I bind that jail spirit. I bind up this bondage in the name of the Lord. Oh, I call down every demon from hell and around this area in the name of Jesus. You devil, you will come down. I will not put up with you anymore. And yet, you know, God allowed him to be there for a reason, for a purpose, friend. Did that make it easy? Does that make it easy? Does it make it like wonderful? Does that mean you have to, you know, love it? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, look at the Bible. Compare your circumstances. See if you can find something like what you're going through in the Bible. But if you can't find it in the Bible, by the Spirit of God, Bible, by the Spirit of God, Word, then where are you going to find your help? When you read Joseph's story, you just want to read over the part where he was mistreated and oppressed and read right over that and forget that part. I would never, if I was Joseph, I would never let that. He must have been immature. He was a young man. That's what it was. He was so young. He was so ignorant. He didn't have, hadn't been to theological school, or he's not as smart as I am, because I know what my Bible says. And I would have put up with that. You know, I could have had that work done in a couple of days. Yeah. Fast. God could have done a fast work in me. Nah, I would never, never. Paul the Apostle, he was just ignorant. Yeah, friend, I mean, you know, I know I'm making fun of this because, you know what, this has been me. I've watched this stuff happen. Paul was writing, now listen to this, Paul was writing the gospel, a lot of it in prison. When he was least known among the world, on the internet, he's locked up in prison, but he's right in the center of what God is doing. He's right in the middle of what God is doing. He's writing the Word of God for us. And he's not in a five-star hotel, lounging out, having meetings downstairs and having people wait on him hand and foot while he writes the Word. He's locked up he's in bondage. And in those chains, he writes. Right in the center of everything God was doing, Paul the Apostle was right in the middle of it. You ever felt like you're supposed to be right in the middle of what God is doing? And yet it doesn't seem like you're like the image of what goes on today? my popularity, my well-knownness, my glory. Difficult, friend. Suffering with Jesus is suffering. What somebody else is called to do, you may not be called to do it. You may be right. You may be the one writing the Word of God, locked up in a jailhouse. And yet, Paul the Apostle said, I appreciate those who are not ashamed of my chains. Remember he said that in the Bible? I appreciate those who are not ashamed of my chains. He was shamed among a lot of Christians, especially the hyper people, they had hyper people back then, just like they do now. He talks about it in Corinthians. He said, I thank you for the few of you who are not ashamed of my chains. Ashamed of my chains, what does that mean? That means that he was, even though he was right in the middle of everything God was saying that we read today with our eyes, he was right in the middle of it, right in the center of it. And yet they were shaming him because, look, he's in prison. If he was spiritual enough, if he was truly a man of God, he wouldn't be in that hell hole over there. That's what they said. I'll get into it sometime with you, and you can see it. He talks about those specifically who are not ashamed of him and his chains. He got beaten and whipped. Well, some of us would be going like, I bind that whipping devil in the name of Jesus. I will not be hurt. It will not come near my dwelling. Because we don't understand what it is that's coming near our dwelling that's not going to come near our dwelling. It has very little to do with suffering, plagues of this world, the demons of this world, the darkness of this world. That's what we are delivered from. Just because you're in prison like Paul was doesn't mean the devil's got a hold of anything. God's got a hold of you, man. Joseph the same way. Some of the greatest men. Joseph was one of the greatest men in the Bible. I really like Joseph a lot, if you can tell. And he was imprisoned falsely for 15 years. He was rejected and despised of his brothers. Sounds something like Jesus. But, oh, today we got the glory bells going. If we're not walking in the glory realm and we're not well-known, we're not all over the place, and people aren't just, like, singing our praises, be like David. When he was taking care of those few sheep, his brother mocked him. What are you doing over here in trying to get in the battle, boy? Go back to those few sheep you got over there. Shame, guilt. And yet he was going to be right in the middle of everything. His own friends, his own brothers, when Saul was chasing him, said, what's wrong with you, David? You can take him down, dude. What is up with you? He's doing you wrong. You haven't done anything wrong to him at all. Nothing but good. You've done nothing but good. And look at all the bad he's done to you. You need to just go in and take over that thing. His own friends, his own people that were with him, that were on his side, were telling him, man, is something wrong with you? What are you thinking about? You need to take over. You need to rise up and take over. Well, that's what a lot of people get. People fall for that one all the time. You need to rise up and take over. You imagine Joseph trying to rise up and take over, have a riot in the prison, trying to get out, go back to daddy, and raise those crops. Wow. We got to think about this stuff. This is very real stuff. We're talking about Bible stuff. Talking about you want to be a great man of God, a great woman of God? You want to be popular and well-known? Like Paul the Apostle is? Well, you got to look at his life. Look at Joseph. Joseph's one of the most talked about people. David, one of the most talked about people in the world to this day, biblically. And yet, look at the stuff that he went through. We all see the glory, and then we forget about the fact that he had a guy murdered and had committed adultery with his wife. We try to forget about that part, because how does that fit into God's stuff? The church would have excommunicated him. God looks at things completely different. We got to get an eye of what the Word of God says, how God is looking at things, how God sees things instead of how we see them. Because if we're still how we see them, it's our own wisdom. Paul the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 20, says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, didn't come to you with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, in the wisdom of men, in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak the wisdom. Now, we have wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God. It's hidden. It's not like, oh, if they don't bear witness with you, if you don't know what it is, then it's like, you know everything about you? I don't think you do, friend. Joseph knew everything about him? Of course not. He fought it for 15 years. One way or the other, I mean, he still hung on to his dream, hung on to his vision, but he learned how to yield to God in the midst of it, let God do a work in his life. I don't think he woke up every morning binding the devil and taking authority over the prison spirit. He just learned to worship God and get his eyes on Jesus, get his eyes off the storm. Well, if I was him, I'd have just rose up and took over, man. Yeah, exactly. That's your problem. That's your problem. You can rise up and take over. I've got authority in the name of Jesus. Yeah? Right. Paul the Apostle, as well as Joseph, David, they all suffered. They all went through things. Nobody wants to hear that. I know nobody wants to hear that. We want to hear the wisdom that is those who are very good at speaking and very well at advising you from the wisdom, what they think that God would be doing if they were God. If I was God, this is what we all do. If I was God, I would certainly not be throwing Joseph in prison. And if I was God, I certainly wouldn't have me in this predicament that I'm in. Well, I can't seem to get out of it. It's nothing but tormenting me. I would, if I was God, I would never do this. So I'm going to prophesy to myself because I'm going to be like I think I would think God would be to me. And I'm going to prophesy to myself whatever I think I want. Instead, if we say, Lord, can this cup pass from me? And a lot of people stop right there. They wait for the cup to pass. And the Lord says, the Lord Jesus said, but not my will, but thy will be done. That's what made him better than us. I mean, we say it for a couple of days, right? And then we're right back to, I bind that devil in the name of Jesus. You get that devil off of you from getting you to reject God's will for your life and reject the circumstances that you're in and start accepting God. And giving your life over to Jesus, say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. As long as your pride and your arrogance is in the way, friend, you're not going to grow. You're not going to do anything. Just keep going circle. You'll be going to the same circle. We'll probably be 5 years from you going like, hey, I bind up that devil in the name of Jesus. I bind up that devil. And I think I almost got it now, Brother Chandler. If I was a real man of God, I'd have said, nah, you ain't got it. You're going to die. You're going around the mountain. You're going around that mountain 5 more times. It'll be 40 years for you. I think that you might just die in that thing. Right? Maybe your children are overcome it. We hope so. If I was a true prophet, that's what I tell you. It's to kind of shake you a little bit, wake you, be your friend, be your brother. All right. Now that I've told you everything you don't want to hear, some of you, don't mind. Some of you like it. Some of you love it. Some of you are saying every day, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I know some of you are doing that. Thank God. We're all trying to do that, right? Yeah. I'm certainly learning how to do that. All right. All right. Welcome. All right, everybody. Good to be with you tonight. And we are here trying to learn something. We learn about all different kinds of things. And hopefully we will actually learn something and move forward instead of ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, never coming to the solution. The solution is Joseph was in the prison, and the solution is he was there for, had been there about 7 years. He's going like, man, I'm about tired enough of this stuff. And the solution came that, well, you know what, God, nevertheless, not my will. I want to get out of here and go back to where my dream comes in the past, there in Canaan land. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, God. I'm just going to trust you. I've been trying like everything to get out of here and just going in circles. So now I give it to you, Jesus. You want me out of here? Anytime you want me out of here, then let it be done according to thy will. And he became a conqueror. Is that easy to do? It's not easy to do for anybody. I don't care who you are or how spiritual you are. We all have human flesh, and we like none of it. And we need help doing it, because only by the grace of God can we walk in that. Everything's a little peachy and creamy for us. We're like going, well, this ain't the gospel that I've been hearing. Well, maybe you've been hearing a gospel that's not the gospel of Jesus. Maybe the wisdom you're getting, and I'm getting sometimes, maybe that wisdom that we're getting is maybe just worldly, fleshly preachers preaching things to you and making you feel like you're coming up short, because they're not in prison. They're not in trouble. You don't have a clue what they're really into, many of them, in their heart. I've heard big-time preachers in our day, in the last 5 years, saying they found themselves in a fetal position underneath the piano crying out for their mommy. I'm talking about to pastors of spirit-filled churches, big ones, in a fetal position under the piano crying out for their mama. Oh, we're all just fine. Yes, we're just fine. Till, you know, 5 years later, you find out, yeah, 5 years ago, and I said, I was just fine. I wasn't just fine, actually. I was, I wouldn't say it lying. I'm just kind of like, I was afraid to tell what's going on because I'm afraid somebody might not love me. Yeah, I know. I know exactly what that's like. All right, friend, I do love you, and I want you to know the truth. I want you to know what God showed me, and I'm growing and learning myself. So pray for me. I pray for you. We're going to believe God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit and not our own ministry, not our own fluffy duffies. You want a fluffy duffy word? I'm sure you can find some out there somewhere. Fluffy duffy. Yeah, plenty of it out there, y'all. Plenty of it out there. Just look around till you find it. And if that's what you want. Yeah, and they'll suck the life out of you. And then when you're still the same 3 years later, they'll blame it on you. Buy all their books, buy all their CDs, buy all their music, buy all their stuff, promising you, if you just sit in, you'll be out of this hole. But then 3 years later, 5 years later, they're saying, they'll be, I've had this happen, they turn around and blame you. It's all your fault. Well, sometimes it can be our fault if we have wrong motives and wrong intentions. It can be. But the promises usually are empty. You need to listen to God. Let God speak to us. Let God help us. All right, let's take our callers tonight. Thanks for being with us. 202 is my first number, 662 my second, 214. Third, 325 after that, 912 after that, 610 after that, 903 after that, 754 after that, 612 after that, 814-218 after that, 863-268 after that, 919-995 after that, 303 after that, 863 after that, 847 after that, 585 after that, and we have about four people who don't have their hand up yet. All right, so... okay, let's take my first call, Matt. Thank you. 202-72, you want to talk to me from, please?
Hey, Brother Randy. This is Daryl Paul and Nicole calling from Maryland.
All right, you guys. All right, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Daryl Paul. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the sufficiency of Christ, God, that you're going to teach him that you are his sufficiency and not the world. The world didn't give it. The world didn't make it. God did, and because God made it and it's his. Just like you did in Egypt, you went and showed the Egyptians. He said, this is mine. I know you've been worshiping your gods for a long time over this water that I made. You've been worshiping your God, your fish God, over the fish that I made that you eat. You've been worshiping your gods over the trees that I made and the dirt that I made and all the creatures that I made and the wood that I made to build your houses and the stones that I made, that I've had, all I made all this, and you're worshiping other gods. He said, when he came in to take down Egypt to deliver his people, that's what he did. He brought all that down, and he began to show them that, you know, God is the creator. He owns everything. Everything, you know, he wanted to make he showed Israel that I am your sufficiency. I own it all. And when I get ready, if I can find me a man or a woman of God or anybody that will listen to me, I will take over anything. I can't do it without somebody. Like I did it through Jesus. I did it through a human being because he made me his provision. I was his provision. The Father was the Son's provision, his provision for information, his provision for where to go, how to get there, when to be there, what to do, who to choose. All that came from because the Father was his provision. The Holy Spirit was his provision. Lord, I thank you for Daryl Paul, God, as he discovers that, God, all the things we have, and that are there, you created all of them, and you are truly our provision. As he makes you his provision, daily, God, of every part of his life, God, I thank you, Lord, for resting your glory upon him, to raise him up to see you in the beauty of your provision. Everything you made is yours. He just needs one person to agree with him, and that's Daryl Paul, to tap into everything that belongs to Daryl Paul from God. He doesn't need anybody else. Just you and God, in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord. Yes, God brings us people to help us. God brings us people to teach us, preach us to us, all that. But he, the words of information are go to you, to build you up, to teach you, to get you to understand that God is your provision, not anybody else, not nothing else, not anything else, only God. And if once he gets that connection going on, then he can lead you and guide you to take anything that belongs to you that's might be in the hands of other people, might be in the hands of other, may not be in your ownership at this time, but as you are led and guided by him, he will lead you and guide you and take possession of everything that belongs to you. Because, like Paul the Apostle had learned through the thorn of the flesh, that God was his provision. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, for Nicole tonight, God, we thank you, Lord, for Nicole. We thank you, Lord, for that provision realm for her, Father, for the provision realm. God, that you called her to be blessed. You called her to believe you for wealth, to believe you for prosperity, to believe you for the wealth. But I thank you, Jesus, that wealth is many different things from God. Wealth is first the wisdom, the treasures of knowledge, right? The treasures of knowledge. That God, I thank you for the treasures of knowledge always become the key to unlock every other kind of wealth that we have, that we walk into, that belongs to us. So I thank you, Lord, for the keys of the kingdom, which are the key words, the key information that you give, God, to unlock the treasures of this earth, of the things that you made for her, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for the keys of information, the keys of wisdom, for the keys of knowledge, God, because the knowledge that comes from God. When Jesus said, Peter, my Father has given you that key, not man. No human being gave that to you. My Father gave you that key, gave you that word, gave you that information in Jesus' name. And that key saved his life. That key opened him up to the treasures of God's authority and God's power in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, praise God. All right, good job there, Chan. Thank you, Jesus. All right, 662-806. I'm going to talk to you from, please.
How are you? This is Cynthia from Mississippi.
Hi, Cynthia. All right, Cynthia. Thank you, Lord, for Cynthia. God, we thank you, Lord, for nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in his word. I don't know what the rest of the words are of that, but that just came right out of my spirit right there like that. And I thank you, Lord, that she sings your praises, sings your songs, sings about your provision, sings about who you are to her, Father, that her worship, God, that I thank you for tuning into her worship in Jesus' name, that her worship tunes into you, and you tune into her worship as with a sweet-smelling savor into the nostrils of God. Father, that like Joseph, I know Joseph did this, I think he sang praises to God. You know, he knew that the only thing that could get him through however long he was going to be there was thanking God and knowing God and trusting God. Just like same thing with Job. Job learned to trust God. Said, though you slay me, yet will I praise you. Yet will I praise you. That ought to be a song. Yet will I praise you. Yet will I praise you. I can't sing, but there you go. And just, yet will I praise you. Yet will I praise you. Yet will I praise you. You know, it goes right up into, yet will I praise you. Oh, though you slay me, yet will I praise you. Hallelujah, man. I feel the anointing on that. Atakoche para. Because all the other things that we go through, let it get to us, do nothing but close our eyes and darken our minds. Praise. Praise raises. Praise raises the darkness. Praise raises the light into our life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for a spirit of praise in Jesus' name. I'm going to praise you. Yet will I praise you, yet will I praise you. Wow. I know I can get that out of my head. I think, yet will I praise you. I don't know if there's a song like that. I don't have a clue. That's what Job sang. And yet, you know, yet will I praise you. So I thank you, Jesus, for teaching my sister, God, how to praise you in a new way. You're developing faith in her, Father, to praise you. Thank you. Because that's what washes away. The praises are like washing away the worldly oppression and things that come against us, the demonic, you know, trying to drain our strength from us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That the praise will refill her, God. Fill her up to overflowing. In Jesus' name, she, her spirit, her attitude. Sometimes her attitude, my attitude gets bad sometimes. You know why? Because I get cranky. Because, you know, I'm letting the stuff get to me. You know, I just do it. I wake up in the morning going like, oh, my God, I'm letting this stuff get to me. Oh, God, show me how to overcome it. And it'll be different things. Sometimes it'll be, you know, he does different things with me. And with you tonight, it's like, you know, yet will I praise you. Yet will I praise you. Yet will I praise you. Something like that. Yet will I praise you. Thank you, Lord, for that song in her heart, God. And the cleansing, washing, releasing the water of washing, the water of drinking. And the well that she said to the woman at the well, you know, if you just only knew, you'd be asking me of a drink. And I thank you, Lord, for that drink that you're giving her, Jesus, from the wells of salvation. And amen. All right. 214-4646. I'm going to talk to you, friend, please.
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas. And will you also pray for Gianna?
Gianna?
Gianna.
Gianna. Okay, Gianna. Yes, thank you for straightening me out on that one. All right, thank you for Gianna. God, thank you for Gianna tonight. And thank you, Lord, for Gianna that you know, just like Jeremiah, you know, suffered things. He knew he had a calling in his life. And sometimes you have a calling in your life, you don't know what to do with it. So in between not knowing what to do with your calling, you listen to all kinds of calls from all kinds of other people, asking, you know, drawing you out, trying to draw you this way and that way. But that's why answering your calling draws you to a place, a specific place. It draws you to a specific place because you hear the call of God. And so when other people call, hey, no, Gianna, come over here. Gianna, no, over here, Gianna. Gianna, wait, over here. And that's what the devil did with Jesus. He did it with lots of them. Always trying to draw them away from the call. And I think the Lord, that Gianna finds her place knowing her calling. If anything, her calling just to fellowship with you, just to know you, God. And to fellowship with you and to worship you and to know you, Jesus, and to bow down to you, God, that you put that within her in Jesus' name, that she will answer the call of God in her life. And when you answer the call, it does away with a lot of confusion, a lot of things that try to mess with us and draw us away. Amen, in Jesus' name. And we find ourselves going, no matter what we're going through, no matter what prison we're in, no matter what situation we're in, no matter what thing that's going on around us, we find ourselves able to find peace with God. That he's with us in the midst of our struggle because we got our eyes on him, and that she will cast her eyes upon you, Jesus, in Jesus' name, that you will be her provision, Father. Amen. All right. And for Terrence and Tanisha, thank you, Lord, for Terrence. Tonight, God, we thank you, Lord, for the terrible Terrence, you know, like a terror to the enemy. Like, we thank you, Jesus, for making him a terror to the enemy. And that thank you, Jesus, for that creativity in him, God. That will, that God's going to give you creative ways to terrorize the enemy. You know, not because you're trying to do something on your own, because God gives you creative ways on how to terrorize the enemy. Jesus knew how to terrorize the enemy. He was so good at it that the Holy Spirit helped him. Of course, always the Holy Spirit helps us. But he terrorized the enemy wherever he went. So what happened? They finally killed him. Well, that was what they were supposed to do. And that's what his terrorizing was all about, was to provoke them to get out of control and to lose it. Kind of like Trump did. Trump got the worldly people, the global people, the system people kind of out of their minds. You know, he just knew how to terrorize them. Right. That's one thing I liked about Trump, is he knew how to terrorize. He got a little carried away with it sometimes, but he kind of has a calling toward that. And so there's this thing about being able to terrorize the enemy, to provoke the enemy to expose himself, kind of like Trump did. Trump and Jesus did the same thing. The devil all of a sudden was doing things. The devil didn't care what anybody thought about it. We're going to come after you. We're coming after you. We're going to take you down. Because he so terrorized him. You know, even when he walked in places, like when he walked to Gadara, the demon said, "Why have you come here to terrorize us? Have you come to torment us, terrorize us? Because there's an anointing that terrorizes the enemy." And it's truly, truly amazing. Truly, truly, truly. It is truly amazing how it really is. So I thank you, Lord, for that ability to terrorize the enemy in Jesus' name and by the anointing. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. And has a purpose to it all. Thank you, Lord, for Tanisha tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, for the comfort, Father, for the comfort for those who suffer, for those who lose their way, for those who get lost in the process. When you get lost in the process, it's just difficult. When you get lost in the process, you need somebody to help, kind of help you find your way back. There's a lot of backsliders, a lot of people who are sliding away. And who have had the wrong – one thing is they've had the wrong message ministered to them. And as they've had the wrong message, and then when the message they had that's wrong doesn't help them get through what they're going through, because their message had – the message that they got taught had nothing to do with what they're actually going to go through. So when they start going through it, they're going like, where's the message that I didn't get, for this? So I got messages for everything else, not for this. And I thank the Lord for giving her the messages to help people go through the things that nobody else will tell them they're going to go through. And suffer the things they're going to suffer, to prepare them for those things. And Jesus' name, that you will use that, God, that you will nurture her. You will nurture her with that information. You will nurture her with that love. You will nurture her with that compassion. And nurture her with that strength. To strengthen Deborah. To strengthen the people of God. Like Deborah did. Like Deborah the prophetess did. In Jesus' name, when she went to battle. You might want to get a chance to read about Deborah the prophetess sometime. Tanisha, I've just kind of been getting into her a little bit lately. Not a whole lot about her, but she was, you have to have a good imagination with God to think, watch what that woman did. Woo! Yeah. Yeah, she was a terror. She talked about terror. She was a terror to the enemy. Amen. All right, there you go. And all right, 325-280, let me talk to the front, please.
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. God, we thank you, Lord, for this message tonight. We were talking tonight earlier about how that we don't always understand everything that I have not seen, neither you heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men. Because the God that we're serving, men try to figure out the Word of God with their own wisdom. And when they try to figure out the Word of God with their own wisdom, then they end up messing it up. They end up, doing what they think God would do in a circumstance instead of what God would really do. So God's really going to separate you out to give you the wisdom of heaven, to show you the things that are from the wisdom of God. There's two different kinds of wisdom. There's different levels of God's wisdom, but there's two different kinds of wisdom. There's God wisdom and there's worldly wisdom, the religious wisdom, from the world. And that meaning that men try to figure out the Word of God on their own and try to understand, what they would do if they were God. I keep talking about that a lot tonight. I don't know what's going on. What they would do if they were God in their circumstances. And what scripture they would pick if they were God. And yet they're not God. None of us are God. But what is God saying? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Because the wisdom of God, is different than the wisdom of men. Men will pick things in scripture that will say, this is what I'm going to, how I'm going to get out of my mess. And this is what's going to happen to me. I will not suffer. Nothing will come near my dwelling. And they think nothing's ever going to happen to it. So they're not prepared for anything. and then the enemy takes advantage of it, takes advantage. So, but I thank you, Lord, for giving Chris the wisdom, God, of the mystery, the mystery wisdom of God. That thing, that wisdom that is hidden, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. And that, God, you're going to start showing Chris, God, the things that are for his glory. His glory is what God has chosen him to do. The glory of God in our lives is to do the will of God. If we're doing anything else, there's no glory. The glory doesn't go to God. It goes to us. It goes to somebody else. It goes to the thing we're doing. But the wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, right, can only be seen by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for opening his eyes at a deeper level, God, to showing the mysteries of the kingdom of God, to showing the wisdom that you ordained before the ages for his glory, the things you've called him to do, God. Nobody's in this scripture. I'm actually reading part. I went to the scripture when I would start talking to you. 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 2, verse 6, 7, 8. All in there. I'm reading this. I'm kind of using this prophecy over you right now. Seen some things here God's telling me about that. To go back to the message when you get a chance and listen to some of this. And so everybody who tries to stop and figure everything out, which we all, there's different ways to figure things out. There's seeking God and letting him show us, and there's trying to figure it out. So the mystery of God comes from yielding ourselves to God and saying, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Show me what's going on. Show me what's happening. And then he begins to download for you his wisdom and how to perform, what he wants you to do for your glory. In other words, your glory, the scripture really says, ordained before the ages for our glory. Our glory, meaning human beings, our purpose. What's going to glorify God? And I thank you, Jesus, all the different things that you called him to glorify you, God, in Jesus' name. The realm of blessing, the realm of being blessed to be a blessing, in Jesus' name. That's going to glorify your name, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, that I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of Chris the things which God has prepared for those that love him, but they shall be revealed through the Spirit. Because the Spirit is the one, Chris, that searches all things, James, the deep things of God. Amen. And I thank you, Lord, for searching his heart, God, to show him, let him see what you have put in him, what you have prepared for him that he doesn't even know yet, God. And he couldn't even begin to comprehend. It's like Joseph. Joseph couldn't comprehend. If God would have told him where he was going, and especially the way he was going to get there, he'd have been going, uh-uh, no, there's got to be a faster, easier way to get to that. And so he had such amazing dreams for Joseph and literally showed him his dream. He showed him his wisdom. He showed him his dream for Joseph. And Joseph still couldn't comprehend it because it was way too big. So I thank you, Lord, that is Chris learns to live not only in the dream that you've been dreaming in his heart, but also in the everyday life that he's in and being able to find the balance of the big dream you have for him, God, and how his everyday life is working to get to that place where the big dream comes to pass. It's getting through our everyday life. It's getting through the wilderness and making it through the wilderness and coming out of the wilderness because the children of Israel complained. And why? Because they were trying to figure it out in their own wisdom. They ended up not going in at all. But not Joshua. Well, I think if someone Chris, he's like Joshua. Hallelujah. He's going to make it through. He's not going to be like the rest of them. He's going to make it through and pass over and move in to that promised place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Show him, God, how to fulfill the big dream like Joseph had, the big, big dream that God showed him. And he had all the things he had to go through. So he had to find it, how to get there in his everyday life, how to get to the big dream in his everyday life of thanking God and praising God and learning from the wisdom of God through the circumstances that he was in so he could get through them to get to the big dream. that was pretty good. Awesome. All right. Thank you, Chris. All right. 912-318. I'm going to talk to you in turn, please.
Yes, Randy, this is Robert and Sandra from Georgia.
Robert and Sandra. Oh, hi. Hey, Robert, how you doing?
How you doing?
Really, really good. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord, for Robert tonight, God. I thank you for Robert, God. I thank you for opening the doors of his heart, God, and opening up the doors of his mind. So, Robert, when really good to have you tonight. It's really good to hear your voice. To hear, you know, from that God opens up our heart. You know, sometimes God has to open up our heart, and then when he opens our heart to things, it starts showing us things about ourselves that he has planned for us that are awesome things, that are great things, that are far beyond what we could ever do on our own. Because if you could do it yourself, Robert, it wouldn't be of God, man. It'd be something you could do. That's going to bring God's glory, right, if it's going to be easy to do. So it's going to be something that he's going to have to open up. And in the process of you moving from that thing that you don't know how it's going to happen, you just believe in God, and getting there and learning how to let God open up your heart, that you see it, so that he can then open up your mind so you can learn how to walk in it. God can open up our hearts to all the dreams and amazing things that we can, you know, that are far exceeding above anything we could do, which is the way God does it. Why? Because he has to bring it to pass. Therefore, he gets all the glory for it. So, Lord, as you open up his heart, God, letting him dream big, and then open up his mind and renew his soul, renew his mind, God, day by day, to how to put it into everyday action in Jesus' name. Ooh, that's kind of sound like the word I just gave Chris a little bit, but it's a little bit different. I love this stuff, man. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing on Robert, God. You're fashioning him, God, like a fashion show to show him off. That's what you do. When you have a fashion show, when God fashions us and shapes us and changes us, he does it because he wants to show us off. He wants us to walk down that lane, whatever they call it, when you have a fashion show and showing off what God has made. And here today we have Robert, and as he comes walking down out there, and he has this powerful looking leather coat on with these huge, amazing looking, you know, black leather jeans and these boots that are like alligator boots and, you know, stuff like that. I'm just talking, right? And this hat, this like so cool hat, and it just looks like a man of God. Yeah, it looks like a man of God. And everybody's like going, whoa, where did Robert get that? I mean, who is this guy? What is it? Because God has fashioned you, man, in Jesus' name, has fashioned you so he could show you up. So he could show you up. Wow, that's amazing. Thank you, Jesus, for Robert. Now, I hope I didn't, if you had a special prayer request, I may have gone too fast along there, but anyway, if you have a special prayer request, I guess, I'm going to pray for Sandra, but yeah. Hey, Robert, did you have something you wanted me to pray for specifically? Did I shut you off too soon? Did you have something you wanted, any special prayer request? You're Sandra?
Yes. I would like for you to pray for, like, what you were saying, that just the opening of my heart concerning my relationship with my mother.
Oh, okay.
We kind of have a funny relationship, and it's because our bond was broken because of something that happened in my youth and when she was younger. So,
okay.
Yeah, I want to come back together with my mother and bond with her and you know.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, I can understand that. I've had some similar things too. So, awesome. Okay, you know, I normally, if we have special prayer requests, I felt like I shut you off too early. So the Lord said, go back. He's got something to say to you. I went, okay, you know. And so I appreciate you sharing that. We will pray over that. What is your mama's first name? If you want me to know, you have to let me know if you don't want to.
Her name is Iris.
Iris. Okay, let's pray for Iris. All right, Robert, thank you so much for sharing that, your heart, brother. It's precious, man. It's beautiful. Just the fact that you opened up, because what I see God doing, as you could tell tonight, that he was doing something in your heart. I saw God doing things in your heart that, excuse me. I saw some God doing something in your heart and that it allowed you to, in your mind, be able to deal with things, to make things in a reality in your life. you know, where your heart, once your heart is open to it, then your mind can go and, you know, do things you've never done before. And that's what I saw with you tonight. And that now that you're asking me to pray for your mom in that situation, that makes a lot of sense with what I saw. So, wow, God's going to use this thing to open you up, bro. It's going to open you. Things that have been closed off to you, things that have been hidden to you, the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of love, the beauty of a lot of things, God's going to open up for you. And thank you, Jesus, for doing that thing, Father, showing him and who all he's working with on how to connect with his mama and God to understand that he will have understanding, that he will have the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man. The wisdom of man will try to figure everything out. It's got to fit in their certain thing. But when the wisdom of God can let us step into somebody else's shoes and understand their situation, they can do that with each other. She can do that. Iris can do that with Robert, and Robert can do that with his mom, Iris. And we thank you, Lord, that they'll be able to step into each other's shoes and walk in each other's shoes just for a moment to feel the pain, to feel the suffering, to feel the heartache, to feel the love, to feel the disturbance, to feel the confusion, and how the enemy got in and tried to work something. But God's going to work it out for his glory. He's going to work it out for your glory, right? And your glory meaning, like I said, 1 Corinthians 2, it says for our glory, meaning for our purpose with God. Our glory should be one thing, only for the glory of God, right, the will of God. So I thank you, Jesus, for that he will bless his mama. We know that blessing mothers is an important thing. And even though some mothers, some people just have issues, they have problems. Key is that we know the devil goes in and tries to ruin relationships with mothers and sons and, you know, the other way with daughters and fathers and all kinds of things, parents. Because he knows if he can mess that up, he'll lock things out of our lives that we can never experience with God. So I thank you, Lord, for turning that around in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And Lord, for Sandra, God, I thank you for Sandra, God. I thank you for giving her wisdom, God. Thank you, Lord, that you're answering her prayers. You're answering things that she's prayed for and believed God for, that the love, I see God softening things, making things a lot softer. I see hardness from people. You know, I don't know, this could be the situation with Robert's mom. I'm not sure what the situation is, but maybe it's other people too, where they have hardness, like God hardened Pharaoh's heart, you know. But in that sense, God was able to do things. But then there came a time to be delivered. There comes a time to change everything. And I thank you, Lord, for Sandra, God, that she's learning more and more how to yield to you, God, and learn from your wisdom, and not that sometimes we try to, you know, I'm always trying to, I want to know what's going on. And so in the process of wanting to know what's going on, we ask God what's going on, and then his wisdom just totally shocks us at the way he does things. It's just like totally different than what we thought. And so it's always amazing. And Lord, I thank you for amazing Sandra with your wisdom. I thank you for amazing her, God, with your love and how you work things out and how you do things, how you soften people's hearts and soften situations, God, for victory, for change, for beauty, for love, for compassion, for prosperity. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Go here, next caller. 610-969, who am I talking to your phone, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy, shalom. This is Lisa Raquel from PA, and I'm also requesting prayer for Devante as well. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. All right. Thank you, Devante. For Devante, God, we thank you, Lord, for Devante. We thank you, Lord, for his heart, God. But God, you can take a heart. You know, you take our stuff. It doesn't matter what it is. You take our stupidity, our ignorance, some of the things that we try to do to try to help God out, and God doesn't need our help. All these things, you take them. You just look. Sometimes he just laughs. He thinks it's cute. He thinks it's like, yeah. And he gets in there and he starts like just, you know, showing us things, showing us, you know, stuff, and just lets us see ourselves and how funny we look to him in a very loving, fatherly kind of way. How cute, you know, like a little kid that does, you know, silly little things that everybody just laughs, and, you know, it's just like, you know, silly stuff. Like, you know, Lord, that Devante will see that God's not mad, that God's not trying to, he's not throwing a fit, he's not like trying to get rid of him. He's trying to work with him, trying to show him, you know, that, hey, you're growing, you're learning, that in Jesus' name, God's going to show you that every time you connect with the wrong thing's going to happen. When you connect with the right thing, when it's the truly right thing's going to help you. So thank you, Lord, in nurturing his heart and blessing him and causing him to see that. That God, how you see things and how we think you see. The devil tries to get us to see things the way he wants us to see things, that God is looking at us. You know, he'd like to kill us. You know, the devil's a liar. And God looks at us like we're just little kids. We're flopping around, pooping in our diapers, you know, just doing all kinds of things. And he just thinks it's part of growing up. He doesn't really look at it. And I thank the Lord for showing him that. The strong conviction power of the Holy Spirit is love also that draws us to the Father and shows us, you know, his purpose and his plans for us and opens us up to God to the beauty of God's family and the beauty of who God really is instead of who the devil says and religious spirits say that he is, which they're such liars and they twist the truth and twisted sister just twist it over. But thank you, Lord, for revealing the loving Father to him, God, that the one who hates evil, but loves the sinner, who hates wickedness, hates it. God, when the enemy gets his way with us, but yet he knows he can get in there and turn it all around and make it all work out for good. Amen for his glory. All right, I'm here. Hang on a second. For my sister tonight, thank you for Lisa. Thank you, Jesus, for opening her eyes, God, to show her the ways of God. All the things we think we got figured out, we think we know how God's going to do something. Sometimes we get caught up in our own wisdom. I do it all the time. I'm always, I always want to know things. So, and I thank you, Jesus, that you're showing her your wisdom, Father. Your wisdom is a mystery. It's hidden. It's hidden from us. Sometimes we can't see it. Sometimes God, because God can't trust us with it yet. Sometimes he shows it to us because we can trust. He can trust us with things. But God doesn't always show us everything because he wants us to learn to walk by faith. And I thank you, Lord, that she's walking by faith. She's learning how to do that. But God, I thank you for that hidden wisdom realm. Showing her the hidden wisdom, God, the things that are not obvious. Some things like when Job's friends, they were telling him things in the Bible. Man, you're reaping what you sow, and you can't reap stuff like this if it wasn't for something you did wrong. And yet, that's what the Bible does say. But you know what? That was a different wisdom. The wisdom that was hidden from them. They couldn't see the wisdom. They couldn't see what was really going on. And so, Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name for showing her what's really going on. If you wanted to know. If not, she's going to praise you and thank you for it and give you the glory for it, not get bitter or angry or upset because she doesn't know everything. We're not supposed to always know everything. You know, God shows us, if we're seeking him, he's going to show us what he wants us to know. Until then, we'd be content. And I thank you, Lord, for showing her, Father, what you want her to know, and let her be content with the rest. In Jesus' name, not try to pray and change something that you're working with. You know, I can imagine Jacob would have been praying for his son, Joseph. Oh, God, deliver my son from that stuff. You know, and yet the whole time, God was using that stuff to grow him in a way that nothing else would grow him. God knew that particular situation that he was in was going to help him see things that he had never seen before. The prodigal in the pig pen, the prodigal in the pig pen would have eaten anything, even when they brought the husk out to feed the pigs. He said he wished he could have got some of that. But you know what? They wouldn't share the husk, the corn husk with him that they were feeding to the pig. They wouldn't give him any of it. You know what? That was the will of God. God didn't want him to have nothing. He wanted him to dry him up and bring him to his sober-minded thinking. And sometimes those circumstances of not getting feeding one bit of the husk from the hogs is the very thing that causes us to say, what am I doing? I'm going to go back to my father's house where there's plenty of food. What am I doing? Like he didn't, like he shook his head and said, what am I doing? It's like we wake up one day and we go, oh my God, what am I doing? Lord, that wisdom is amazing. You use things. And we got to get a hold of that. And I think that she's getting a hold of that Jesus and is letting that minister to her in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 903-808. You want to talk to her, please?
Hey, this is Janie in Texas.
Hey, Janie. All right. Sounding better. Sounding better. Janie's been hit a little bit with some stuff. With cold or something like that lately. So thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. Thank you, Lord, for blessing her. Thank you, Lord, for keeping her, keeping a watch on her, God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that place of sufficiency with you, God, that you are her sufficiency, meaning that whatever she needs, it doesn't matter who or how or what it's going to come to her. Father, if a man's not able to give her what she needs, whether it be friendship, fellowship, fun, food, you know, things, money, provision, that she will find herself trusting in you above all. And Lord, I thank you that as she finds herself trusting in you more than ever before, I know she already does, but when you bring her into that deeper level of your wisdom, of your knowledge of how to trust you in ways that she's never even known before, that God, as she does that, and it's not about whether men do anything, because God does use men, but that her total focus, God, you're refocusing her on that God is my provision. Even if man doesn't do it, even if man, like even David said, you can hear the heart of David, the worshiper, when he said, you know, he said, when I sin, I go to God with myself. And then if God tells me to go to some person, that's different, but. He said, you know, when I go to God. So you could tell God was his source. And then whatever God told him to do, because he was his source, God opened the doors. So I thank you, Lord, that as God, as you're teaching her how to draw from your provision realm, that you are her total provider, Father. She's not going to depend on one thing from anybody. Yeah, it's going to come. Yeah, it's going to show up. But you know what? If it dried up, just like with Elijah, you're going to take her somewhere. You can provide. Provide for her through a widow. You're gonna show your provision to her in so many ways that it's gonna be you guiding her, you leading her in the circumstances that don't make any sense. Like Elijah going to a poor widow who had nothing, who had two biscuits left, gonna feed her and her son, and then they were gonna die. And you sending me to her? You know what the heck is going on around here? How come you can't send me to somebody who's got some money? Somebody's got some stuff. I need some help. You know, I got my ministry going. And he sends her to some widow because he wanted to show that widow things, and he wanted to show Elijah things. And I thank the Lord that as you were teaching Elijah how to trust in your provision, when the brook dried up and when that bird quit bringing the food from probably the king's table or however it did, we thank you, Jesus, when that dried up, God, that you told him what to do, and he did it. And though you took him to a place that just did not make any sense at all, that God, you provided for him in ways that were amazing and yet used the provisions that he needed to provide for others, to cause them to walk in miracles, to cause that woman to give to Elijah first. And when she gave to Elijah, when she gave to God first, to Elijah, that God would bless her meal and her flour, and she would be able to have food when everybody was dying around her. God, I thank the Lord that when other people are dying around her, she's going to have food, she's going to have supply, because she's decided to make you her provision, Father, and no man, no nothing. I'm trusting you, Jesus. And once we break off into that realm, that's when God will bring people from all over the place, because why? We are trusting God like never before. So that's when God releases the reins from heaven, and all kinds of people come from everywhere saying, God told me this, and God told me to do that, and God told me this for you, and God told me to do this for you. You know why? Because when we break free from the strings and attachments in our mind, in our heart, from any other provision than the Father's, that he is our provision, and we give him glory in Jesus' name, then good measure pressed down and shaken together will men give into your bosom. All right, 754-255. Can you turn, please? I think this is Donald and Tanya, I believe. Okay, I think it is. Pretty sure it is. Thank you, Lord, for Donald and Tanya. We thank you, Lord, for the life, God. We thank you for Oh, yeah, that's right. Donald and Tanya are having their 10-year anniversary. You know, I got a card from Donald today saying, you know, we're way here in Florida and you're over there in Texas, but well, at least invite you to our 10-year anniversary. 10-year anniversary for Donald and Tanya. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He was telling me tonight so graciously, he said, you have been part of our marriage, helping us and being a blessing. I just wanted to invite you, at least invite you. Thank you for that, my brother. And I'll text you about that later, so thank you so much. But thank you, Lord, for blessing their anniversary. Thank you for blessing their heart, God. Thank you for blessing their love. Thank you, Lord, for showing them your ways, God. You're showing them your provision. You're showing them that no matter what people do or don't do, that you're going to provide for them. You're going to bless them, God, no matter what people say or don't say, that you're showing them. But you want them. Sometimes you just totally go out of your way to show you that you are providing for them. It has nothing to do with anybody. Somebody may prophesy something about you, but it had nothing to do with why it happened. And it happened because it didn't happen because of the prophecy. It happened because God decided the prophecy will tell you what's going to happen, but it doesn't make it happen. Your faith and your trust and the work that God has done in your life have brought you to that place of drinking from the well of His salvation, of His, you know, in other words, Him delivering you, Him showing you. Amen, in Jesus' name, Him being your life and your light. Hallelujah. So you can go forth and shed forth the light of Jesus to others. Say, man, we know what it's like. We've been there. And people still might not understand. Oh, when you tell people, oh, yeah, I understand, they're going like, yeah, right. Even though you may not be able to express it to people that you've been through what they've been through, but what will prove it is that the anointing will be there to confirm it. And people will know that you're telling the truth and that you have an anointing from God to help them come through this stuff. To just learn to trust God and believe God. Amen. He'll bring a prophet. He'll bring intercessors. He'll bring people. He'll bring friends. He'll bring enemies. He'll bring whoever he has to bring. But it's God that does it all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless those children, those baby dolls, Father. Amen. Touch them, watch over them. All right, 612-805. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Hello, Randy. This is Joyce from Minnesota.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi.
Hi, Joyce. Good to have you tonight. Hi.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you. All right.
Bless you.
I thought you were going to. Hi. You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for Joyce. Thank God for the freedom and liberty you bring to her, God, to bring freedom and liberty. To bring freedom and liberty to her, God, showing her the ways of salvation, showing her salvation, meaning showing her the ways that God works, the ways that God does things, the ways that God moves, and, give me a second. Okay. Hang on just a second here. Get lost with it. There we go. There we go. All right. Yeah. And so that the ways of salvation, the ways that you work things out, the way you make things happen, it's not always the way we think. Sometimes we have to wait on God while He works on people who are disobedient and people who are giving Him a hard time. You know, God has to work with people. Sometimes, you know, like when Daniel prayed, and it took 21 days, and God, when finally the breakthrough came, God, the angel said to Daniel, he said, man, you know, I was on my way the first day you prayed, but it's like all these hindrances, because, you know, and sometimes even with God with dealing with people, and God has to work with people, you know, that's why God wants obedient people, Joyce, as you know, and He's looking for obedient people, people that will obey Him, because when He has obedient people, then He can get His work done quicker and faster and easier, right? There's not as many hindrances and causing so much despair and despondency with people like going, oh my God, you know, it's taking, so thank you, Jesus, for every hindrance, everything. God, you're giving her grace. God, you're building within her a spirit of obedience where she will obey you and no matter what it costs her, she will obey your voice. Because God, that's what you look for. You look for people who obey you so that when you want to do something through Joyce for someone in either in prayer or whatever the thing is, that it will be done not when I get getting ready to do it, but whenever God says to do it, that you will do it when that when God says. Amen. And so walking with God, talking with God means you're in step with him, means you're walking with him, and he's opening you up and blessing you to walk in that walk right beside him, and not way ahead, not behind, but walk right in beside him, side by side. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Open up that place, God, in Jesus' name, that place of beauty, and meet her needs in Jesus' name all the way. A child of obedience, God. Amen. All right, 804-218, you want to talk to your friend?
This is Angie from Virginia. Yay.
Hey. Yeah. All right. Good to hear from you, girl. All right. Make sure and drink your water. Don't get dehydrated. That's what I tell all my friends. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Joyce. For Joyce. For Angie, God. We thank you, Lord, for Angie tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for her surrendering heart, God, to surrender to you. We only surrender to one person, and that's God. You know, it's like in warfare, wartime, sometimes people surrender, you know, but, you know, surrendering is wonderful, but it's surrendering to God is the main thing. Sometimes we surrender all kinds of things. You can be working with people, and God will say, they're wrong, but I want you to surrender. You got, but they're wrong. Yeah, but I want you to surrender. So who do we surrender to? We end up surrendering to God, and the person thinks we're surrendering to them, and they know they're wrong. But you know what? Sometimes God allows it to happen for a certain degree, to do certain things in their life and to do certain things in your heart, to see if you'll obey him no matter what, and surrender no matter what. And I thank you, Lord, that we only surrender to God. We only surrender to God. Even if God told us to do something, you know, not ungodly, but do something that doesn't make any sense, you know, to do things. God, I can't do that. He said, just do what I say. I have a reason for it. And we do it, even though it makes no sense. We surrender to you, God. We surrender to you. We don't give in to anybody or anything except you. And I thank you, Lord, for that surrendering heart that you've given her, Father, to surrender to you, Jesus, to know you and to love you and to trust you, that you will work it out in Jesus' name, and that nothing will come near her dwelling inside her house, God, without your permission, God, because she walks in obedience in your covenant. Like Israel did. Israel, they were already the children of God. They were already God's in covenant with God. But God said, I want you to cut a new covenant with me, a fresh covenant, put that blood on your doorpost. And because they did, even though the plague came right in front of their door, it did not come inside their door. In other words, it didn't come near their dwelling. Where were they dwelling? They weren't dwelling on the outside of the house. They were on the inside of the house. So that stuff can come right at your door and yet not come in and touch you. Amen. So I thank you, Lord, for teaching her that and showing her that, God, that we surrender only to you. And amen. All right, 863-268. I'm going to talk to you, friend, please.
Hey, Randy. It's Charles and Nikki from Florida. And could you please pray for Stephanie?
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Steph tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for Steph, God. We thank you for giving her hope, God, that she will hope only in you, God. You're bringing her to a place to hope only in you. Sometimes we think we're hoping in God, but what we're hoping in is what people might do or people might not do. And, you know, thank God for when people, you know, do things. But you know what? God, I think that her hope is in you, Jesus. Hope's not in her husband, not in her children, not her mama, not in her daddy, not in anybody. Not in the government, not in her job, not in her business, not in her money. Just in you, God. She's hoping in you. And when we have hope in you, we never lose hope. And that's what you love. You never let those who hope only in you, Jesus, be destroyed. Never. Not ever. That would be totally, you would have to not be God to do that. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are God, that God, you are the God of God. And that when as Stephanie hopes in you, God, her hope is in you, her roots are in you, God. She learns to drink from you in every situation. Sometimes we only drink from situations when they're to our agreement. You know, sometimes things come our way, and God teaches us how to drink from him in the midst of that thing. He prepares a table for you in the midst of your enemies, teaching you how to eat with your enemies all around you. Most people can't eat because they're all upset because, oh, my enemy this, my enemy that, my enemy this, my enemy that, my enemy, my enemy, my enemy. And Jesus says, get your eyes off the enemy. And I got a table right there in the midst of it. But the table is for your provision, for your food, it's for your protection, it's for your showing you that I'm with you, that I'm feeding you, that I'm taking care of you right in the midst of all of it. So thank you, Lord, for teaching all the different ways to trust you and look to you, God. Amen. And thank you, Lord, for Nikki and Charles. Thank God that all the things they suffer, all the things they go through, Father, is working for your glory, is working and churning for the anointing, God, the oil that you're crushing. You know, as you crush and you think, Lord Jesus, that if God crushed us and there was no oil to come out of it, then he wouldn't be crushing us. He only crushes us and allows us to be crushed at times so that the oil that's in it can come out. If it didn't bear fruit, God wouldn't allow us to be crushed. So he crushes us, and what comes out of it? Glory. Oh, my God, anointing in Jesus' name. He rubs it in. He rubs in. You know, sometimes people, you ever rubbed in something with Charles, or Charles rubbed in something with you, or y'all rubbed in something? You know, like, oh, yeah, you know. Remember that time, you know? You know, it's like, you know, you thought she was going to, you know, grow that particular thing, and it didn't grow. Remember that, you know? And then I came out there and showed you to do this and do that, and it fixed everything. Remember that? Yeah, rubbing it in, you know. So we rub in things with each other. Like, remember, don't forget how I helped you that time with that thing. You couldn't figure it out. I remember that, yeah. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all. But sometimes, you know, that. So sometimes, but God rubs things in a way that when we're going through a hard time, he squeezes us. We're being squeezed. He's squeezing us only because there's anointing oil to come out of that. For purpose, and every time he squeezes us in an area, because there's the fruit of the crushed, and the oil comes out of that for that particular situation, in Jesus' name. So you can always have an oil, an anointing, for that particular need, that particular kind of need that you have. That oil, you know, the oil that made for the anointing oil had like five different kinds of oil, five different kinds of ingredient in it, and it. All together, it made the anointing oil that made it holy. And I thank you, Lord, for all the different oils, all the different ingredients that they have in their life, God, that you've been squeezing and pressing and shaking and moving, God, to create a holy oil, to be called the holy children of God, in Jesus' name, to be called holy, holy, holy. Be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. How do you do that? With that holy oil. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless them, God. Bless them with that holy oil, God. As you squeeze them, let them understand that you're drawing out of them, you're bringing an oil out of them that they could have never had in their life had it not been for that. Oil always comes out of those situations. It's an oil that we could have never had it not been for that squeezing that we went through. Hallelujah. And anoint them and rub it in, God. Just rub it in. It'll be around me. Remember that time you were going through that? God will say, remember that time you were going through that? Yeah, and he thought you're going to do that. It's gonna work. That was going to work. And I came along and I fixed it for you. Remember that? Yeah, I'm rubbing that in. You know, when God rubs it in, it's like he says, here's an anointing for that. Here's an anointing. You learned something new. You saw me do something for you. And he rubs that oil into your life where you start believing God for that provision and that thing. He always rubs it. He says, okay, yeah, remember that one time when you were going to do this and it didn't happen and I came along and did. Yeah, uh-huh, remember that? Remember how I provided for you? Remember that one? Yeah, he rubs it in. But he rubs it in a different way than we do something. He rubs it in. Remember when I did that? Yeah, don't forget that. Yeah, he rubs it in. The rubbing, that's what anointing means. He rubs it in. He reminds us, do this, eat my body in remembrance of me, what I did for you. Hallelujah, Lord. What a beautiful remembrance that Charles and Nikki have of you, Jesus, and your provision in Jesus' name. What an awesome thing. Okay. Let's see, 754-255. Have I talked to you yet? Who am I talking to? I think that was Dawn and Tanya. All right. 919-995. You want to talk to me, friend, please? All right, Cheryl. Nice to have you. All right. Thank you, Cheryl. All right, thank you, Lord, for Cheryl tonight, God. Thank you for that stuff, God, of the quality things, not necessarily fancy, but quality things. Thank you, Lord, for the quality in her life, God. I thank you, Lord, for your opening up for the realm of quality. That when she believes God for something, it's quality. We believe we need for quality stuff because when you get quality stuff lasts long. may pay a little bit more money for something, like a vehicle or whatever, but the quality, the way, because usually when things cost more most of the time, it's because they're made better. They're made better to last longer. So you pay a little bit more, but they last a lot longer. It's like the blessing of God. You can work less and make a whole lot more, right, and with the blessing of God on you. Instead of working all the time, and working, and you barely make it, then get to where you walk into that blessing of God. And where you work little and you get blessed much, and you let less sweat, and God blesses. We can have downtime and provision time and time to relax, time to know that God is on your side. Amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, for opening up that place in her heart, God, to know. Well, she will know and understand you, God. You're bringing her understanding, and all you're getting, get understanding. And I thank you, Lord, as Cheryl gets under, keep her heart. And keep her mind and keep her eyes from looking at the storm and getting her eyes on the storm and getting her eyes on you, Jesus, God, because you're her only hope. And that's the way God wants it. He doesn't want our hope to be in anybody else. He doesn't want our security or our protection or our provision to be in anyone else. And I thank you, Jesus, for sure, God, you're showing her how to walk in it and live in it, where God never gets jealous over her, because she never puts other things first. She always puts you first, God. In Jesus' name, because of that, God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things will be added to you. Amen. And they're added with a lot less sweat, working a lot less and getting a lot more and being blessed, because that's the blessing of God. We're not slaves. Slaves work hard, sweat hard, and get very little, barely enough to make it. Blessed people, the opposite. They work less, and they get blessed more. In Jesus, and I speak that blessing over God in Jesus' name. All right, 863-808, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Cheryl from Florida.
All right, Cheryl from Florida. Good day tonight. All right, hang on a second. I think I just turned. All right, my computer's messed up there. All right, thank you for Cheryl tonight, God. Thank you for the advance warning, you know, like God just shows you ahead of time, what do you call it when you do things to prepare so that so when something happens, it won't happen to you. So I can't call that you're, I'll think of it here in a second, but that's the thought that came to me. I'm going to get it here in a second. But I thank you, Lord, that she's prepared in advance, that she's not going to be caught in looking the wrong direction, doing the wrong thing. Lord, she's a child of the light, a child of the day, not a child of darkness. Not a child of darkness doesn't mean we're a bad person so much as it means sometimes we're just in the dark about everything. I thank you, Lord, that she's a child of the light. She's a child of the day. She's going to see. She's going to know. She's not going to be caught. But it says when the Son of Man comes, that he is like in the days of Noah, so will be the coming Son of Man. You know, they were eating and drinking and marrying, getting married. Nothing wrong with eating, drinking, and giving married. That's all God's stuff. But they weren't aware of, you know, the timing of the Lord. And all of a sudden, boom, they were washed away. And because Noah was listening to God and Noah's family was listening to God, you know, they were not caught off guard. They were kept. They were blessed. They were watched over. They were, you know, and while those who were not prepared and not ready, and thank you, Jesus, for that all the preparations you're giving her, Father, to prepare her, to show her, to lead her, to warn her ahead of time, saying, you know, like you did with Noah. You're giving her those Noah warnings, God, in Jesus' name, Noah warnings, in Jesus' name, to make it, you know, God, what you're warning about. What the purpose is. So you know, I mean, we don't always have to know everything, but we just go know in general, okay, there's a flood coming, you know, and there's never been water before. It doesn't make any sense. And yet God is saying, build a boat, right? So we thank you, Lord, that she has a mind for that and heart for that, God. She's going to do that and walk in that in obedience. Amen. All right. Preparing for the future. All right. In God. All right. 847-505. Can we talk to you from, please?
Hey, this is Marja from Illinois.
Hey, Marja. Marja, good day. Thank you, Lord, for Marja. Thank you, Lord, for that satisfaction, God. You've made her to be satisfied. you called her to be satisfied, God, and she's not going to be satisfied with anything other than from you. See, if, as long as we keep our status, our wanting to be satisfied in him, well, what has he given us satisfaction? What satisfies us? Well, what he's made us to live in life. You know, a house, a home, a family, you know, a blessing, enjoyment, fun, you know. We're not always going to be, you know, preparing for the end, you know, always. We're going to walk in the millennium one of these days. We're not always going to be, like, looking around the corner and wondering when the devil's going to. Our goal is to enter that place where we enter the promises of God, the inheritance of God, the inheritance that Jesus paid for on the cross. That's what the millennium is going to be. It's going to be, you know, the fulfillment of that. So to dream about those things and to want those things is a God thing. But the thing is, how do we approach them? How do we go after them? How do we do that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things will be added. And I thank you, Lord, that Marge has a heart for that, God, to be satisfied with that. To be satisfied with family, with fun, with things, with blessing, with being able to help people, be able to have enough money, be able to have things to help other people and do things. We thank you, Lord, that all that, dreaming of family and fun and love and relationship, that's all God's stuff. When the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, he's not saying don't even think about that stuff. No, that's, all that stuff comes from God. But it's, the thing is how we get it. It's how we approach it. And I thank you, Jesus, that her satisfaction level is a thing of God. We're going to satisfy her with the things from you, Father. But all those things that are going to come to her are going to come because she sought you first. She sought you first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those other things which God wants us to have and that are ours and belong to us that Jesus died on the cross for. What do we want to not receive everything Jesus died for? Like it's in vain that he died for everything. So we're only going to take a half of it or a quarter of it? No, girl, he wants you to have it all. Have it all, but it's how we do it. It's how we receive it. By seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. Then he adds it. We don't even have to so much fight for it and go after it. So much. It's, the thing we fight for is keeping our eyes on him and doing things his way. Seeking first the kingdom of God. In other words, God, how do you want to do things? Well, I know you need a house over there, but I want you to give a house away. Just as an example. So it's like it doesn't make any sense. If I want to have a house, I need to go after the house. You know? He said, no, just give the house. Find somebody who needs a house, get the house. So in giving, you receive, right? And so the same thing with everything. You know, when you want to plant a tree, you go out and you plant a seed. You get that seed planted. And so God's showing you how the kingdom of God works and developing that in her heart, God, and showing her that everything that she wants and desires, God is in your kingdom. It is done by your Spirit, and you're showing her how to apply her faith, God, in Jesus' name, how to have those things, mainly worshiping you first and seeking you first and doing what you say first. You know, we don't do what we think and then do what you think. We do what you think always. Jesus said, you know, God, can this cup pass from me, please? And the Father said, you know, come on, Jesus. You know, what I've got for you is much better than to come. So he said, okay, not my will, but thy will be done. And now he's seated right into the Father, and he's watching, you know, his work being done. And he's soon going to come back to the earth. It's going to be amazing. Yeah, so we've got something to look forward to. Seeking first the kingdom isn't just preaching the gospel and living poor. You know, it's doing what God has you to do with your world. Right? What's God having you do? If he wants you to have family and raise children or have a business and make money, whatever he has you doing, you don't have to. Not everybody's going to preach the gospel. Some people are going to help people who preach the gospel. Some people are going to, you know, be helped to raise a Billy Graham, to raise children, to have love and family and relationship in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. Yeah, when it's all God, then it's all blessed. And nothing can burn it up or tear it up. All right. 303-386.
Hey, Mike. It's Mike from Colorado. Could you pray for my travels? Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Mike. God, as she gets ready to go, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're with him, God. You're showing him. You're showing him how to use divine wisdom, how to use God wisdom. How to use wisdom that is wise from heaven, that's wise from God, not the wisdom of man, but the way men do things. Men can do things that may seem okay. You know, God has a way of doing things that just break right through all the stuff and get right to this. get right to the bottom of the thing and call love love and call it love. It's up to walk in the love fest realm, to live in that love fest, and to have love and have blessing, have family, have, you know, have wife, have you know, ministry, have things, have everything. God wants us to have everything in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless Mike. You're going to bless him with everything, God. You want him to have everything. And as he goes about it your way, Father, as he goes about it, that you're going to bless him with that, God, in Jesus' name. And anything that tries to hinder that, including himself, you know, many times I've hindered many of my blessings until God opened my eyes and I go, oh, my God. He showed me how that I was hindering my blessings, some of them. Other things, it was other reasons. But I'm going, God, you know, I can't change people, but I can change me. We can change me. And so the more yielded you become to God, like you are, Mike, the more God can change you, the more God changes you, the more he can open up doors, and he can open up doors that no man can shut. They shut doors that no man can open. And that's what I'm looking for. I don't care about all the other doors. I want the door that no man opened that no man can shut. And I want the door shut that nobody can open up. And when God does that, he does it because we're yielded, we're willing to do whatever he says, whenever he says it, however he says it. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing his travels, blessing with his family, God, encourage and build him up. Give him wisdom, God, and show him how to approach everything. Amen. With wisdom and love in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Increase and multiplying, Bob. Hallelujah. All right, 915-248. All right, Daniel. All right, Daniel. Okay, Daniel. All right, Daniel. Thank you, Daniel, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and thank you, Lord, for the control. God's showing me how to get control by yielding control over to God. That's how you get control. How do we get control of things? By yielding control to God, and saying, God, show me how to get control. You know, how do you want to control the situation? And so, how do we control things? How do the meek inherit the earth? How do we run things? Well, we rule and reign with him, and as you know that. And I thank you, Jesus, for showing Daniel how to rule and reign with him. And, you know, we never bow to any other king than the King Lord Jesus. And when we go through all these kind of tests, God will test us and how to bow to this person, bow to that person. We're not talking about honoring people. We can honor people, but when we put God first and we don't bow to anybody but him, you know, God will take us through a lot of testing. I don't know if you know like what God has done with me. A lot of things he's brought me through is, you know, am I going to bow to people? Am I going to bow to doing things their way? They want me to do things that I can't do. Not necessarily evil things, but just things that I can't do. Things God won't let me do. Sometimes it's information. Sometimes it's where I spend my time. Sometimes it's all kinds of things. So my tests are who are you going to bow to? You're going to bow and give in to this thing? You're going to make that person your source for love? You're going to make that person your source for financing? You're going to make that job? You're going to make that person or that thing our source? Then we will end up bowing to them to keep that job, to keep that relationship, to keep that thing going. So God has taken me through this. And sometimes I did good, and sometimes I, honestly, I did really horrible. God, I thank you, Jesus, for helping Daniel, God, to see and know that every test he goes through, everything, it's really about who we bow to. We honoring who are we putting first, God or people? Amen. We put our needs first. We put God first. And I thank you, Jesus, that God, you put a heart in Daniel to put you first, to seek you first. And just in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for opening up his heart to what is first, literally in his everyday life. How do you put God first in your life every day? How do you do that? Amen. And God's going to show you and lead you and guide you how to do that. Because when you're doing that, then everything we need comes to us. Everything we need comes to us, right? Because we're doing things what he says, his way, and nothing can stop it. Absolutely nothing can stop it from happening. No matter what people say, no matter what we say, you know, I've even doubted myself sometimes, but you know what? God brought it to pass because I just kept believing him, even if I wasn't sure what I was believing for. I said, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to trust you. You want me to have this and that and the other? I'm going to seek you first. I'm going to bow to you only, amen, and then make you my source. And when we make God our source, brother, I mean literally, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, everything, guess what? He starts bringing that stuff in. It's amazing. All right, 225-454. You missed our free phone, please.
Hi, Karen from Louisiana.
Hi, Karen. All right, Karen, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Karen tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, for who her provider is. You know, like if people ask you, who's your provider, your telephone provider, AT&T or T-Mobile or whoever it is. And you know, like people ask you, okay, Karen, who's your provider? And you go, the Lord. Well, then how come you work? Well, because when I work for the Lord. Well, what do you mean? You got all these people doing all these things for you. Yeah, when you put God first. When you're seeking God, God gets things done for you, and He causes people to come around you. That you know, and so I thank you, Jesus, that Karen knows how to yield to you, and understand that it's not about what people can do or not do, but it's about what God can do and what He do. And when God has a will, He has a purpose. I'm telling you, nobody can stop it. Nobody can. The devil can hinder it. Sometimes the devil can hinder it and use people to do that. But ultimately, you know, we keep our eyes on the Lord. But the strategy is the devil tries to harass us and get us to give up. Because if we ever give up, then he wins, right? When he wins, he knows that if we do not give up, God will come through. The thing that the devil knows. So what's his main strategy? To try to do everything he can to get us to give up. Now, our thing is to not give in to him, of course, or give up on God. But how do we come in agreement with God about what he wants? That's the thing that keeps us going, because if you're praying for one thing and it's not God's will, it may seem right, may feel right, may be right in many people's eyes. You know, if I was God, this is what I would do. But it may not be God's will. So when you're praying outside of God's will, so praying in God's will, you start seeing things happen towards your prayers because you're praying in the will of God. When you're praying outside the will of God, it's hard to see those things. So we thank you, Lord, for showing her how to pray. The Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought. The Holy Spirit in us knows how to pray. And thank you, Jesus, that as we pray in your will, then we see things happen according to your will. Then we start understanding what you're doing, what you're saying. If I was God, this is what I would do. Boy, I think we all go through that a little bit. You know, if I was God, you know, I would do this and I would do that. And I would never put that on somebody and that on somebody. But we never know what God has to do to get somebody to come to him. So we have to find ourselves, Karen, in finding prayers that we pray. Or, Lord, what do you want to pray? A true intercessor is saying, God, whatever it is, I don't care. Good, bad, ugly, different than what I think. You know, I have a different thing. Can this cup pass for me? Because I don't want it to go this way. And yet, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, I'd like to pray this way for this thing. But if you have something else, show me. And I thank you, Lord, that Karen's heart is for that God. You're going to show her. She's going to see things come to pass because she's going to pray the will of the Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 901-501. Let me talk to her again, please. All right, 901, are you there? 901-501. Air code 901-501, are you there tonight? All right, air code 901-501, are you there? All right, I don't know who that is, so... thank you, Jesus, for 901. We thank you, Lord, tonight for in their heart, God, to where they find themselves being, satisfied with what God wants and what God's purposes are, that nothing else is going to satisfy you, even if it's something that we think that would be awesome, that when we get it, once we get it, that's the thing. Sometimes God allows us to get what we think that would be good so that we can find out that how empty it is. Avoided it. So that way we end up, you know, finding our satisfaction in our desire, that we start having taste buds toward what God wants, right? We have taste buds toward what God is thinking, what God, like Paul, Peter was told by Jesus, he said, you don't savor the things that are of God, you savor the things that are of men. You know, in other words, you have a flavor for the things of men more than you do the things of God, because you listen to more what the rabbis said about what the Messiah would be than what the Messiah himself said he was going to be. Right, so we all do that, huh? So we kind of go like, okay, God, There you go. So what about that? So that means you're gonna have your way. You're gonna have your will. And just a second here. I got something. Anyway. Yes, God, as you open up their heart, God, tonight in Jesus' name, and show them that your ways are divine. Your ways are miraculous. Your ways take the Holy Spirit to get them done. If we're trying to do anything else, they get our way, and we think it's the right thing, then it's gonna be so dissatisfying. Don't think we're going to have a flavor and a taste for it. It's going to be the things of God, even if it's not what our mind understands. Even if our mind goes, well, I don't know if I'm for that or not. Like, you know, but God, give me a flavor. Give me a taste for the flavors of your word. If you want me to eat chocolate and I'm not a big chocolate eater, hell, give me a taste for chocolate. Give me a taste for strawberry. Hell, give me a taste for lamb burgers. You know, if I don't like lamb burgers, let me have a flavor. Let me want to eat it and drink it and whatever you want. Let me, you know, Jesus told Peter, he said, you savor not the things that are of God, but are of men. So, Lord, give them let them savor the things that come from God. Desire them, want them, have a flavor for them. When they hear the word of God, they go, yeah. It doesn't matter what everybody else says or not, it's what God is saying in Jesus' name. And they have a taste buds for that. And they will taste the quality of the word. The words of man, no matter how beautiful it is, it's going to be about as empty as it can be. But when it's from God, it's full of life, it's full of blessing, it's full of sometimes suffering. But the glory of God always ends up being the thing that you walk in. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right. 951-966, I'm going to talk to Refund, please.
Hi, this is Regina from California.
Oh, hi, Regina. All right, Regina, good to have you tonight.
Hi,
thank you, Lord. Hi, really good to hear from you. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Regina. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies, God, the testimonies of your faith, testimony of your love. God, the testimonies are a little bit different than we think they are. Sometimes testimonies of, man, you know, my whole life fell apart. And it's like, not only... And so sometimes when I hear those testimonies, I'm going like, okay, so you must have been doing stuff that was messing up. So sometimes when you hear testimony from other people, Regina, you're going to hear like they're going to be singing a sad tune, but you're going to be hearing, oh, God is doing something there. Yeah, it's like I talked earlier about how the prodigal son, you know, when he had took his inheritance and went off and, you know, ended up with the pigs in the famine. You know, he said, man, if I could, he was so hungry. He just said, if I can just eat some of the husk from that are feeding the pigs. But the Bible says they wouldn't let him have any of it. And I heard that. I was listening to that today, and I thought, well, that's just. I'm sure if his father would have been hearing that, if that was going on, he'd have been going like, okay, yeah, God, you're drying him up over there. He's gonna be coming home soon. He's gonna be coming because he's not getting fed anything. He's starving. He's hungry. He's hit. So and then all of a sudden the prodigal son just kind of wakes up and goes, what am I thinking about? I got more food and everything at my father's house. I could be a slave at my father's house and have more than this. And here I am. What am I doing? And it woke him up. So sometimes when we hear testimonies about things going wrong, sometimes if we see it, we don't get down about it. We go, okay, God, it's kind of difficult, but thank you that you're doing. You're bringing that person to themselves. You're waking them up. And Jesus, not that we want bad things to happen to people. Of course not. It's not about that. It's about we want fruit. Paul says sometimes I have to be tough on people, and I always like wish I hadn't had to do it. But when I see the fruit of it, then I go, yeah. Even though that was a horrible thing that had happened, it woke them up. It changed their whole life. Amen. So sometimes we gotta when we see things Regina God wants to do, then we hear testimony from people about stuff going wrong. It's always good to hear testimonies of how I got right with God. But sometimes the process testimony, you know, oh, great. Like, yeah, I was in the deepest hole I've ever been in my life. And some mama hearing that knowing that their son or daughter's like, you know, been in this, you know, walking away from God, they're going, yeah, that could be God. Instead of saying, oh, that devil kind of, no, that sounds like God's not letting him eat the husk of the pigs. He's going to get hungry for coming home to daddy. Yeah, and getting right with God. So thank you, Jesus, for those testimonies that when she hears them, she will recognize them, what they mean, and she will hear the voice of God in them instead of like, oh, God, the devil's out of control. Or they're going to starve to death. No, there's God is starving them so they'll be hungry for coming back to daddy. Amen. whatever that's about. Amen. You're going to hear those things. You're going to recognize and see them and know that, okay, God's done something. Amen. All right, that's it. All right, 803-991. Who am I talking to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. All right, Angela, good to be with you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Angela. Thank you, Lord, for the power of God in her tongue, God, showing her how to, that you're going to open her, she's going to open her mouth, you're going to speak through her, God. She's going to learn to trust you to open her mouth. Like, opening your mouth could be, you know, like, I know you're right and that kind of thing. That could be part of it. With me, it's prophesying. With me, it's not just prophesying with me. It's sometimes I literally have people that I would say, you know, hey, man, I just need you to listen. I don't need you to comment. I don't need you to agree or disagree. I just need you to let me talk. It sounds kind of funny, let me talk. It sounds kind of selfish. But the whole point of letting me talk is I've learned how to, you know, when I'm talking it out, chewing the cud, basically, I start hearing God say things. I'm going, whoa, that was amazing. Wow, that was really amazing. Oh, my God. Because that's one of the things that God has me do. So, you know, so in order for God to download things for me, you know, he does it all different kinds of ways. And so thank you, Jesus, for showing Angela how to open her mouth and feel it. In whatever way she has to do it, if it's sitting on a computer and typing or getting on the typewriter, whatever you do, sit down and writing on a pad. Whatever you do, you start, you're like writing on a pad, and God will fill your mind with words to write or whatever. And show her how to activate that God and walk in that. And as far as any kind of information from God, if we can just learn that that's one of the key things that most people do not know, they have to not have the knowledge first and then write it down. Now, sometimes you just say, God, I'm going to write, and you just give me the words. And you start writing, and maybe scribble, nothing. Not much, and all of a sudden, boom, you start connecting to something. Ah, there it goes. There she goes. You catch a thought process that takes you in all kinds of creative ways. Hey, man, it's something you have to learn to do. It takes trust to do it. I do it all the time. I wish I could do it better, actually. I do it all the time on the show, you know, a lot on the show. But I'm not near, you know, I mean, dear God, help me to do it perfectly, to follow you and trust you perfectly, God. And when I'm taking information, going somewhere that doesn't make any sense to me, that I will not stop because it doesn't make sense to me. I will not stop because it doesn't make intellectual. You know, I'm going, I don't even know where you're going with this. Of course you don't, because you're getting information from God, and God's wisdom is hidden. It's hard to see what he's going to say, where he's going to be. We have to trust him and follow him and learn how to, it takes time to learn how to do it. I made plenty of times where I just didn't get much out of it, and then all of a sudden I started kicking in. So I learned how to kick it in, opening my mouth, and I will feel it. And the Bible says, open your mouth, and I will feel it. 251-229, who am I talking to you from, please?
Yes, this is Sarah.
Hey, Sarah. All right, Sarah, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah. God, I thank you, Lord, for confirming her, God, confirming her that you're talking to her, that you're speaking to her, that you're drawing her, that you're leading her, you're guiding her. Thank you, Jesus, for all that. And thank you, Lord, that you're taking away the confusion, Father, that sometimes tries to confuse her because, you know, God's trying to give you new thoughts, and sometimes we try to hang on to the old thoughts because it's the only thing that we know. It's difficult to let go of the things that you already know. You know, what we already know is not bad, maybe, not really. But, you know, in order to go new places, we have to have, like, to get new wine. Or new wine only fits in new wineskin. You know, the thinking, our mind, our spirit, we have to be able to look at things from a whole different perspective, you know, because sometimes our religious teachings, our religious belief system, our human, you know, limitations don't allow us to open up ourselves up to God in his limitless abilities to show us all kinds of things. We just have a hard time believing that he would do that for me. I can believe he could do it through Brother Randy or through Brother Sister or my mama or my whoever, but through me, you know, that's, I'm talking about myself right now. It's like, I can believe, man, those people like really go, they really do it. But me, personally, you know, so it took me a long time to realize, and I still deal with it. God, you're going to tell me that stuff? You're going to show me that? Wow, okay, let it be done. Let it be done in me according to thy word, not according to what I can figure out or understand. You may give me new things I never even heard of before, but let me not try to mix it with the old and say, well, you know, God, no, like that doesn't line up with what so-and-so taught me. No, that didn't line up with what. No, that didn't quite line up. So sorry, God, I can't have it. We're getting new wine with new wineskin. The old wine and the old wineskin, you can't put new wine in the wine. It'll break it. It'll burst it. So I thank you, Jesus, for your showing her how to walk in the new things, God, and to trust you and not let her left, just like with me, my old thoughts, my old belief things, my things I just, you know, built an altar in, knowing that this is the God truth forever. And the Lord showed me that was a half-baked truth. I'm like, oh, my God. I just kind of basically worshiped at that altar of that belief system for a long time. He said, no, you know, some of it's right, some of it's not. Some of it, you just don't understand it right. I want you to look at, it's the Word of God, but look at the Word of God this particular way. So he started giving me a new wineskin. And then once you get a new wineskin, wine, the wine and wineskin, new understanding of things, then once you catch it, then all you ever want is a new wine. Amen. So the new things that God is saying, things that make no sense, the things that everybody says, no, that ain't going to happen because we believe in our religious community. Who cares what they believe in their religious community? Let's get what God is saying, man. That's where we're going to go. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. All right, 602-650. Who may I talk to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's John from Omaha. And if you can also pray over my team at work, please.
For your, what is it, last name?
For my team at work.
Your team at work, okay. All right, absolutely. Thank you, Lord, for my brother God. We thank you, Jesus, for his team at work. For John, we thank you, Lord, for John's team at work. God, we thank you, Lord, for showing him how to lead and how to let other people lead. When somebody has an ability to do something that may be greater than our abilities, and we be able to recognize that, we let them lead in that one area. They're not going to lead the whole crew, they're not going to lead the thing, but if we can let everybody lead in the area they're leading, you get like 20 leaders getting together who lead in different things. They all can lead and lead, you somewhere where you'd never go. Sometimes we want everybody to just like, you know, have this thing of, you know, you don't have that much, you don't know this. But when we activate their ability to find whatever they can lead in other words, they have great abilities, then we learn to let them lead. And you find a whole crew. If you can find three people that you can put together that can lead, man, that can do the thing that they're called to do, and they're all called to do different things, and all those three things mixed together can make more than 1,000 people can get done. Because each person, they're all putting their abilities together and making things go places that they normally wouldn't go. And I think Jesus was teaching them how to look for that, how to see people's abilities, how to see who can do what, and even if they think they can do something that they're not that good at, to be able to help steer them away from that in a very proper way. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for the order that you're getting him to structure, the order, how to order things, how to put things in order, how to cause, because when things are in order, everything just kind of works better. People feel order, they sense the order, and it's something that makes them feel comfortable and safe. And yet it's not, it doesn't take away from their abilities. It doesn't diminish their creativity and their ability to think for themselves. Because if they can think for themselves and find things they can do well, and if you can find three people and find what they can do well together and work as a team, oh, my God, so much less 10 people, 20 people, whatever they are. Thank you, Jesus, for letting John have that gift to find the best in each and draw it out of them, Father, and get them to become a leaders, amen, who follow. Leaders, the greatest leaders are those who follow, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for John. Thank you for blessing him, God. Thank you for opening his heart up, God, to encourage him how to, be a friend to the friendless and to connect to people and find different ways that to be all things to all people, meaning that it doesn't matter who you run across, you can find some way to connect with them, be their friend, find something, whatever they're into, whatever they're up to, whatever they enjoy, you know, thinking about as far as life and things, to connect in and draw out of them that friendship. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for that ability to find friends and draw friendship out with John, God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. All right, y'all, that's my last caller tonight. So if you need prayer tonight, some of you don't have 903-253, you don't have your hand up. 111, you don't have your hand up. 608, you don't have your hand up. 912-398, you don't have your hand up. I don't think I've ministered to any of you guys yet, far as enough. So if you want to be prayed for, if you'd like to, I'd love to pray for you. Yeah, there you go. All right, thank you. All right, 912-398, you want to talk to your friend, please?
Paulette, Georgia.
Thank you, Jesus, for Paulette. Thank you, Lord, for giving Paulette courage to fight her battles, God. There's that song, there's a song that that people sing in church. The way I fight my battles. This is the way I fight my battles. Something like that. This is how I fight my battles. It's a big song. I don't know if you know that song or not, but this is how I fight my battles. You know, it's like, this is how I fight my battles. Let me get that scripture. Let me get that song up here. This is how I fight my battles. I don't know if the words are going to be important for some reason. Let me get it here. This is how I fight my battles. Lyrics. All right, let's go. Let's go here. All right. Okay, this is your song. Here you go. Table that you prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. Amen. There's a table that you prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your blood and your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battle. I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song of praise for what you've done. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battle. In the valley, I know that you're with me, and surely your goodness and mercy follow me. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. This is how I fight my battle. And I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song of praise for what you've done. This is how I fight my battles. Oh, Jesus, calling on your name is how I fight my battle. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Amen. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Oh, but I know the truth. I know the truth. When my enemies seem to be around, this is how I fight my battles. All right. I don't know what that was about, but there you go. Lord said, give you that song tonight. All right. This is how I fight my battle. There you go, Paulette. Wow. Pretty cool. Thank you, Lord, for opening up those divine appointments, God, for those understandings, God, the wisdom, showing her how to fight her battles. God, that God has already won the battle, but it's how we enter in for our own personal victory. It's not about everybody else's victory. It's about our own personal victory. And we got personal victory, then we can help people find their victories. Amen. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that she learned how to find her victory. She's been learning how to find her victory. Amen. Because fighting the battle. Amen. With praise and thanksgiving. Amen. Instead of letting worry and doubt hit us, and we all have things that we could be worried about. There's always some kind of storm raging somewhere, right? At least trying to come against us. And this is how I fight my battle. I love that song. I've never given that song to anybody before. There you go, girl. All right. This is how I fight my battles. Amen. All right. 864-313. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, it's Walter, South Carolina.
Hey, Walter. All right, Walter, good to have you. Thank you, Jesus, for Walter. God, thank you, Lord, for that place in his heart, God, that prophetic thing, that prophetic voice inside of him, God, the prophetic word of the Lord, the prophetic word of God, the word of God being, you know, even when you interpret dreams, dreams can be prophetic. Like when Joseph interpreted dreams, what he was doing was he was prophesying to people. You know, when he said, tomorrow in 3 days, your head will be taken off your body. You know, the birds are going to, in the dream, you know, he saw the birds eating stuff off his head. Joseph interpreted that in 3 days, your head's going to be. But what was he doing? He was prophesying to him. And the other guy, he said, you're going to be raised up. You're going to given back to the king. Well, you know, he didn't know anything about what had gone on. And yet, through the dream interpretation, that dream interpretation became a prophetic word. So I think the Lord, for interpreting things, can be very prophetic in order that you show my brother God things that are pathetic, things that are not God, things that the enemy is trying to make. Because sometimes the enemy will give us dreams to make his things come to pass, you know, because he tries to be prophetic too. This is what he wants to happen. This is the fear he wants to create. This is what he wants to say ain't going to happen. But God comes along and he says, no, you know, I'm going to prophesy to you through a dream. If you interpret that dream properly, you're going to have a proper prophetic word coming for you. So I thank you, Jesus, for the realm of the dream realm of dreams and being able to interpret. You know, sometimes we can tell what the devil's trying to put on it, that it's not always exactly the opposite of what the devil tries to put on it, because then we'll try to work that. But many times what the devil's trying to tell us is exactly the opposite of what God is saying. Yeah, so I thank you, Jesus, for letting Walter be able to see, Father, that what you have for him is exactly opposite of death, hell, and destruction. It's just the opposite of that, whatever the opposite of that is. Life and abundant life, blessings. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. You called him to counter the strategies of hell, counter them, counter the wisdom of man with the wisdom of God. There are two different wisdoms. The wisdom of God always counters the wisdom of man. And I thank you, Jesus, for giving him that wisdom, God, to counter everything he tries to do in his life. And then he comes to trip him up, make him feel this way and that way. God, you're going to use your wisdom to, like Jesus, he was always being, they tried to trip him up all the time. But he turned around and ended up tripping them up. And I thank you, Lord, for that same wisdom with my brother, God, in Jesus' name. Open it up to him, God. He will learn how to drink of that like he drinks from, you know, water every day. Eat food every day. He can learn how to eat and drink. Amen. Of that wisdom in Jesus' name. The wisdom of God. Not the wisdom of man. The wisdom of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Which is from above. And is hidden. The wisdom of God is hidden. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. Not with persuasive words. Amen. All right. Nobody puts their hand up. I'm going to call it a night. It's only 11:30. I'm working less and getting more rest. Doesn't offend me. Yeah. All right. Okay, here we go. All right. Got 8608-960. I'm going to talk for you. And where are you from?
Hey, Randy. Shannon in Wisconsin.
Hey, Shannon. All right, Shannon. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon. God, I thank you for the blood of Jesus over my Shannon, God. The blood of Jesus over Shannon. We thank you, Jesus, for your blood. We never forget your blood, that your blood is the very thing that's pure and holy. And we know the Holy Spirit's holy. We know the Holy Spirit's pure. We know the Father's pure. But there's something about the blood of Jesus, because the blood is what pays the price. That's why the devil hates the blood. He hates the blood. He can't even come near the blood. Why? Because it's holy. It's the thing that was shed in the earth. Lord, I thank you my brother learns how to, Shannon learns how to live in the blood, understand the blood, fellowship with the blood. The blood speaks. And I thank you, Lord, he will learn to listen to the blood when the blood says, I've paid the price. I've paid the price. The price has been paid. The price has been paid. The victory's been won. And he'll listen to the cry of the blood of Jesus, Father, right now in Jesus' name, that his mind and his heart will hear the blood of Jesus crying out, saying, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. Not one. And make the plague, the spirit of death can come right at your door, but it cannot come in when you got that covenant blood. And I thank you, Lord, that covenant blood was everything in the land of Israel. When God was dealing with the gods of Egypt, and then he came along and he was asking, he said, now that I've dealt with Egypt, I'm coming to Egypt, and now I'm coming to Israel in Goshen, and it's to see who's going to listen to my voice. He's going to, you know, because God, the whole time in Egypt, he was showing all of Egypt that I'm God. Your gods are not the gods. I am God. I'll destroy the water. I'll destroy everything. that you worship, you think your God's in it? No, I'm going to destroy all that. Then he came to Israel, and he was in the mood. He was just in the mood. I'm in the mood. You know, I'm going to destroy anything. So when the spirit of death and destruction came, as long as they had that blood covenant, it was a covenant of blood, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That angel of God, the wrath of God, nothing can come near that. The devil's wrath cannot cross that threshold in Jesus' name, on that door, in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Awaken him, God, to your blood in a brand new way. Awaken Shannon to your blood, God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. For the victory, because the blood is how we obtain things in Jesus' name. It's how we keep our mind clean. It's how we keep our heart clean. It's how we keep things that people sling on us. How we keep all this stuff washed off of us. It's how we cleanse and wash ourselves from things that the enemy can use as an entrapment strategy, like unforgiveness and all kinds of things. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus, God. It washes and cleanses so Satan cannot find anything. We may have been guilty yesterday, but today we're clean. He comes looking for something. He can't find nothing. Accusations can't oppress us, can't vex us, nothing, because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, amen. All right. Thank you, Lord, for that. All right. Anybody else need prayer tonight? Please put your hand up there. I'm going to call it a night. Yeah. Glad to be here for you and with you. Glad to pray whatever he wants to pray over you. This is how I fight my battles. Well, that was a good word, man. How I fight my battles. Woo, how you fighting your battle tonight, y'all? How are you fighting your battle? Well, this is how I fight my battle. One of the ways I fight my battle is through giving. Just give. I give my time. I give word. I open my mouth. God says it. Whatever he wants to say to somebody, I just let him say it the best I can. I'm telling you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, this is how I fight my battles. Because I'm giving it to God. How are you giving to God? What way are you giving to God? Find out how God wants you to give and just give the way God tells you to give, because that's how you fight your battles too. Amen. I'm giving my time. I'm giving my life. I'm giving to him to serve his people, to wash their feet. Amen. In Jesus' name. And because of that, God gets things done. He provides. This is how I fight my battle. All right, 214-438, you want to talk to your friend, please?
This is Kimberly in Texas. Will you pray for Kimberly and Derek?
Absolutely. All right, Kimberly, thank you for the blessing song, God, for the blessing song, the songs of blessing. This is the song of blessing over you. Like, I hear the Lord just singing over you tonight, Kimberly. You're his beloved child. You're his beloved daughter. You're his beloved one. Not just some whatever out there hanging out and trying to make it. No, you're his beloved. Thank you, Lord. Like, I saw the Father, you know, singing over you that you are his beloved child. You are his beloved daughter. I mean, you're not just another girl in the kingdom. You're not just another woman in the kingdom of God. You're his pleasure. You're his love. And sometimes it's so hard to let the fullness of that information be absorbed in our brain because we don't think we're worthy of all that, you know, adoration from the Father. But I thank you, Lord, for the adoration of the Father in Kimberly's life, God, that she will realize how much you love her so that she can love herself. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. So as we love ourselves, it's because we let the Father love us. And that's what I hear the Lord saying to you now. He's trying to show you how much he loves you so you can love yourself. Love yourself in scary ways, ways that God loves you. Right? Yeah. So I thank you, Jesus, for opening her up to that God. But when she will love herself, then other people, it will be easy for other people to love her. Easier, much easier for people to love her. Thank you, Lord, that Derek can love her. Derek can love her because she loves herself. Sometimes our biggest battle with getting love from other people is because we don't love ourselves. You know? And so I thank you, Lord, for revealing, wanting to sing over Kimberly tonight. How much you love her, God. How much you've chosen her. How much she's your blessed child. She's your blessed daughter. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And she absorbs that and soaks that in, Jesus. She'll be able to let it absorb and soak into her mind, her heart. I love myself because God loves me. In Jesus' name. I love me in ways I've never loved me before. Why? Because I find out that's how God loves me. And I find out how much God loves me, then I can love myself. I start seeing, oh, yeah, you love me because of this. And, oh, yeah, you love me because of that. Absolutely. You start seeing why and how. Amen. Because number one, you're his creation. Number two, you're his child now. You're more than his creation. Now you're his daughter. You're his child. But I thank you, Lord, letting her absorb that and soak that in, Jesus. Amen. Open up the doors for her to be loved, God, in Jesus' name. For Derek and her to be connected, God, in Jesus' name. Open it up, God. Let every wound that she's ever had be healed by the love that the Father has for her as his blessed daughter, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Blessed love. Wow, awesome. I almost went off on that one. I almost went bye-bye on that one. Cool. All right, 509-492, who am I talking to from, please?
Deborah and Mark from Washington.
Hey, Deborah and Mark. All right, good to have you guys. All right, thank you to Deborah and Mark. God, thank you for that covenant relationship, God. I really feel like God's, you know, connecting you to covenant relationship. It's like covenant is, you know, whatever I have belongs to you, God, and then when that's actually real, when we actually, you know, like Abraham was asked to give up Isaac, and when he was willing to do it, the Father said, I don't know if he didn't know he was going to really do it or not. You think God knowing everything, he would know, but he said, I just wanted to see if you would, Abraham. He stopped him. He said, I just wanted to see if you would. You know, so when he saw that he would, then he connected him with the higher level of his covenant. And that's what I feel like God's doing with you guys. He's connecting you to the higher level. Because Abraham already had covenant with God. He had cut covenant with God many times. But this was a different kind of covenant. This was like, can you trust me to do with your only son, your only blessed son? Can you trust me with him? Wow. Can you trust me with that? And I think that brought Abraham into the highest level of covenant he could be in. In Jesus' name, that was like the final blessing, if you will, that God confirmed. So I thank you, Jesus, for Deborah and Mark, God, walking in that higher level of covenant, God, that if you ask them to give up their greatest thing, their child, their only one thing, God, that they would do it. That they would do it if you asked them. And it took years for Abraham to get to that place where he would, if God had asked him to give up Isaac when Isaac was first born, he probably wouldn't have done it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But he prepared him. He prepped him. He made him ready. He showed him. Abraham kept showing him, I will provide everything for you. I will be your provider. I'm Jehovah. I'm your provider. But then we have to find out and see how he does it. And what we have to do, our faith without works is this. Our faith with works creates life. It creates victory. It brings the provision. And I thank you, Jesus, for Deborah and Mark, God, that you're showing them how to be like Abraham did. He learned how to, at first when him and Sarah went to Egypt, and he told her, you know, he hid behind her, which is really basically what he did. And he watched God protect him and take care of him in spite of his weaknesses. And then he did it again and again and again and again. Pretty soon, I think that's the way God does it with his people, right? Because it's hard to believe God's going to actually protect me. We're used to protecting ourselves. So God said, I'm going to protect you. Like, yeah, I believe it. And then he turned right around and didn't believe it, right? He didn't know how to activate it into his everyday life. That was the thing. And so over the years, he saw God be faithful to him in spite of himself. And pretty soon, here it comes, time after time after time, he watched him provide, work things out. And then it came to Isaac. He said, okay, let's see what he does with Isaac. Offers up Isaac. God stops him. I just wanted to see if you would do it. Now, I bless you. The ram blessing. The ram blessing is a powerful blessing. Higher level than the lamb, believe it or not. And a higher place of rulership, higher place of provision, it's a higher place of trust. Amen. And I think that this higher place of power and authority, because a ram's horns were caught in the thicket. That's how God caught him in the thicket. And thank you, Jesus. Yeah, for opening that up in Jesus' name, Lord, for Deborah and Mark tonight, God. Show them how to activate that covenant, whatever that is. Sometimes we have to yield our child. I had to yield my child, one of my sons, over to God many years ago. It was extremely difficult. And I kind of feel like I was doing the Abraham thing, not literally physically, but in my heart, it was like God said, I don't ever want you to see him again. And we're like, what? You want me to do what? And he said, are you willing to do that? And so I made up my mind. I guess, yeah, God, I'm really trust you. And boy, it just opened up a whole different thing in my life. And, you know, even though that's not what God desired for the future, but it became a thing of, test for me to see if, because he's looking for people that will trust him when he says, I'm going to provide for you. You may not believe it the first 20 times. 22, you start getting better, 23, 24, 25, 55, 65. It's then more and more we wholeheartedly trust God. Thank you, Lord, for that covenant realm, the covenant relationship with Jesus, the covenant relationship with the Father, Father, in Jesus' name. Because when we enter into that place, Deborah, we really do, Mark, give to God what belongs, whatever he wants of ours, if it's all of it or just one of it or a little bit of it, whatever he wants, we're literally willing to give our Isaac away, which was his everything. That was his everything. That was his future. He's willing to give it up. Give it to God. Because he's willing to do that. God says, now I can trust you with everything. Now I can trust you with everything I have. Whatever you need, Abraham, whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you. That's what he did also with, you know, the great man of God that was, yeah, the wisdom man, Solomon. God says, what do you want, Solomon? Yeah. So that's where God's trying to bring us. He wants to see, what do you really want? When we show him what we really want, that is, give whatever he wants to him, then he says, okay, because of that, I will give you everything that you didn't ask for. Hallelujah. Bless them with that, Jesus. Open them up to that. Show them that. Share that with them, God, and open their heart to that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 864, you there? 313.
Yeah.
Hey,
Randy. I need prayer. I have agreement that my finances, I just need some wisdom. And I'm still dealing with some healing, places I need healing at. And I've just been, dear God, last 2 years, 3 years, it's been, I ain't been on top of it.
All right, let's pray. We don't do much talking on Wednesday, so Wednesday's kind of a time we don't do much talk. But thanks for letting me know about that. All right, let's do that. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. On Wednesday's night, we don't talk on Wednesday night. As you probably know, we share that many times. Mondays and Tuesdays, we will talk and that kind of thing. Wednesday is mainly prophecy, but we do take special prayer requests. So we thank the Lord for that, for giving him wisdom, God, for just giving him maybe the wisdom he needs is how to keep God as your provider. We make God our provider, and then we quit making God our provider. I've done it. You know, we all do that. So, Jesus, I thank you for showing him how to make him. Take him through tests. Sometimes you take us through tests. Sometimes not having what we need is a thing of seeing who we're going to trust, what we're going to trust, God. We trust in ourselves. We trust in him. We're trying to wheel and deal. We're trying to find somebody that can help us. What are we doing? And so sometimes God can do anything. Sometimes he can have us go and ask, we'll be humbling ourselves. You know, sometimes he says, don't ask, and not asking humbles yourself. But you never know what God's saying, what he's doing. But whatever it is, he knows our strengths, he knows our weaknesses, he knows what we need to develop this. So I thank you, Lord, for giving him wisdom, God, on how to keep trusting you, how to keep believing you in ways he's never believed you before, God. In Jesus' name, open him up. And let him get his eyes off people and on men. On the things that the men that you want to use, the people that you want to use, God, instead of the things that we think that you want to use, that the way you want to do it. I thank you, Lord, for giving him wisdom, God. He's a man of God. I thank you, Lord, for his service to you, Jesus, for his love and his love and desire to serve you, amen, to do what you ask. And thank you, Jesus, for that right now, that he totally has his eyes off of people. people and on the ways of God, you know. And that's when we do that. That's when God brings, he will use people to bless us. God uses people. He doesn't use angels, mostly. He may use the angel to arrange something, but amen. So thank you, Lord, for that Holy Spirit arrangement, God, for men will give into your bosom. Thank you, Jesus, for that blessing in his life. But it's all about the first part of that. Seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness. All those things will be added to you, you know, and God will, good measure, pressed down and running together, shaking together, men given to your bosom. We thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Give me a minute. I'll be right back. All right, everyone, I think that's it for tonight. Nobody else raised their hand, so we're going to call it tonight. God bless everybody. See you tomorrow.